Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We are here live tonight and good to be with you. Another live prophetic talk show. We're going to be doing it again, ministering to people and believing God for whatever kind of miracle you need tonight. If you can get the right information, it opens up the door for your blessing to come and for God to show you how to receive it.
Really?
Yeah. Information just really does open you up for what God is doing, what God is saying, and how to receive it, and what are you looking for. You know, you start identifying what you're looking for, because if you don't know what you're looking for, you're going to miss it, right? Yeah, you're going to miss it. So we go through this whole theme of getting the right information, because right information means that we get our eyes open to the right thing. In other words, if you're looking for the wrong thing, you're going to miss it. Right? That's pretty simple. Go here. Hang on a second. Wait a minute. Okay. Hang on a minute here. Let's change our internet to this. Yeah. All right. So good to be here tonight. And we are believing God with you for to get you pointed toward the right thing. And really important. Hang on a second here. All right. We are just opening up tonight and getting rolling here. So be praying for us tonight that we are reach the people that we need to reach. And, you know, pray for people that need prayer. Here's the thing about information. Is I'm obviously getting this tonight fresh as it's open my mouth for a show. You never know who's listening. So many times God will just start the show out with me saying stuff. I'm just following the information, right? I'm not really sure where it's going. And so when I said that about information, information is everything, because if you're being told the wrong information, if you're looking for your breakthrough in one way and it's not the right way, then what do? You got your eyes pointed toward that thing of information that you're getting. That's what the Bible's so important. That's why the prophetic is so important. That's why speaking to you correctly, that's why prophesying correctly, like when we did, you know, going back to the Trump thing and the Biden thing, when we said that Trump was not going to win any of the lawsuits that he had, you know, had going. And, I mean, he had always, you know, won most of everything he had done. And so it was kind of a big word, but it was like nobody else was looking for that. Everybody else was looking the other direction, which, you know, makes sense, because prophets were prophesying it, people were having dreams and visions. It was really amazing that because here's the thing about getting wrong information. You know, if you get wrong information from prophets or people that you believe in, then you're going to start dreaming dreams about that, right? Right? Because you're connected to them, you're connected to that. So you could start having dreams of, you know, of Trump, you know, winning the election and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, and him winning, you know, somehow or another he's going to win, right? But Biden kept winning. Biden kept every judge kept shutting Trump down. And so because every judge, even the ones, many of the ones he appointed, you know, shut him down on everything. I mean, that was just shocking to everybody. Everybody's going, they can hardly believe that. He's going to win one. He's got to win one. And the information we were giving was very precise, very specific. We did it the day, I think, on November the 7th or 8th, 8th or 9th, somewhere in there. It's all on documented, archived on the show. That Trump was not going to win any of his lawsuits, and Biden was going to be the winner. And so what is that? What was that doing? We were giving information that God was showing me. And the information that you get is important because if you get the wrong information, then you're looking for the wrong thing, right? So how important is prophetic information or any kind, even teaching? We can talk about teaching, Bible teaching. We can talk about all kinds of things. If you're, you know, you guys know how I feel about the pre-trib. If you got pre-trib on your mind, you're going to be really messed up. In my opinion, you're going to be really, really messed up, really bad. And you're not going to be ready for what's going to go on and the whole thing. So we don't want to get caught up into that right now. But the thing that we need to understand that the prophetic information we get is also important, right? If you're getting words about, you're going to be raising chickens, instead you end up raising, and you're supposed to be raising eagles, and I'm giving you, and you're getting a word that says you're going to be raising chickens. Well, you know, a chicken does have wings, and a chicken is a bird, but it's not an eagle. So what are you looking for? You're going shopping for chickens, right? Because the word of the Lord is you're going to be blessed by buying chickens. And so the same thing about Jesus, when the reason that Peter rebuked the Lord was because he, you know, had the wrong information. You know, most Jewish people did have the wrong information about Jesus, obviously, because they crucified him or had him crucified because they didn't understand who he was. And God didn't want them to see who he was, honestly. And so when you understand that, you understand what was really going on. But, so they were looking for the Messiah when the Messiah came to rule on the throne of David forever. In other words, he wasn't going to be dying. When the Messiah finally came, when Yeshua, or the Messiah, they didn't know it was Yeshua, when the Messiah finally came, you know, so they're going like, okay, the big decision was, is this the guy? Because if it is, he's going to rule forever on the throne of David. That was the promise that they all taught it. You know, just like we have certain doctors that we teach, pre-trib being one of the biggest ones, and merchandising is one of my favorite ones that I don't like. But, you know, some of that, they're really, really big, really huge, huge, huge. The pre-trib rapture theory is so big. I mean, there's a lot of people who quit believing it a long time ago. There's still the mainstream Christians believe that. And so without going to any of those particular doctrines or those teachings, so we're talking about prophetic information. So if you're getting prophetic information that you're going to be raising chickens, then when you go shop around, look around, oh, Randy, guess what, man? You give me that word, that's not about raising chickens. I'm seeing chickens everywhere. Why did they start seeing chickens everywhere? Because God's opening up chickens to them when it's supposed to be eagles and the information was wrong? No, you know why they started seeing chickens everywhere they went? Because their mind was open to chickens, because you believe in the word of the Lord from the servants of God, and so you get a couple of chicken confirmations. I don't know why we chose chickens and eagles. That was not pre-thought of, I guarantee you. I would have thought of something better than that. So you start looking around, and what do you see? You start seeing chickens everywhere. Why? There's a lot of chicken. There's a lot of chicken. I'm sorry. I'm not really sorry, but there's a lot of chicken pictures, you know, and a lot of chicken, the name chickens everywhere. Like, you see these commercials all the time about the cows telling you, eat chicken, they're better for you. Don't eat cows. And then you see, so somebody gives you a word about, you know, you're going to be raising chickens, then every one of those signs that have always been there, all of a sudden you're going to start seeing them, right? Oh, confirmation, Brother Chandler. I saw chickens. If she gave me that word about chickens, I'm seeing chickens everywhere. Confirmation. Well, you see the deception in that? Now, if I'd have given you the right word, let's say the right word was eagles, and you're going to be raising eagles, then it would be the other way around to a certain degree. So the right information opens you up to seeing the right things and getting the right confirmation. The wrong information gives you wrong confirmation for the wrong things and starts taking you the wrong direction. You see why prophetic information or any kind of information, teaching information, is all it's extremely important, because it sets you up for what you see and believe. You know, if you believe in the pre-trib, and you've been taught that all your life, and one night you have a dream about people, you know, all of a sudden disappearing, you're going to automatically, and I've seen this happen, people have dreams about people disappearing. They automatically put that in there as a pre-trib rapture. Well, how did they know it was pre-trib? Why couldn't it have been post-trib or mid-trib or some other trib? Just a rapture. Jesus was raptured, so was Enoch and Elijah. You know, so we know there's a rapture, right? But so how do they know that it's a pre? Well, I don't know. How do you know it was pre-trib when you saw it? Well, I don't know, because I've always believed the pre-trib. You know, the pre-trib rapture. So if you'd always believed the post-trib rapture, that dream would have been post-trib or whatever. Well, yeah. Well, see, so that's the whole thing. Don't ask me. This is Monday night. I shouldn't be laughing about this. This is not funny at all. But this is something we got to think about. So, you know, I mean, you see it. Look at what happened with Trump, the Trump prophecy thing. I mean, people were prophesying Trump, everywhere Trump, everywhere you go, Trump. There was so many, oh, yeah, and people started having dreams and visions about it. I mean, I know people that did this, because the people that they heard, they believed in them, so to speak. And, you know, oh, we all make mistakes sometimes. Okay, so I'm not criticizing anybody. That's not my point tonight. The point tonight is getting when something gets going, if you're not here getting the right information, all your confirmations are going to be wrong confirmations, right? No matter how many confirmations did all the Trump people have? Oh, their people had dreams by the multitudes. Well, did anybody ever have a dream that it was going to be stolen from them? Was that much out there? No, I don't think so. I don't know too many people, if anybody, had a dream about that. You know, that would have been right on. That would have been, you know, at least not right on, but it would have been more right, you know, according to what things look like. So your information realm, friend, is so vital and so important to you. And if you're not getting the right information, then it's going to mess you up. It will mess you up. You'll be looking for a pre-trib, and all of a sudden, one day they're building the temple, and you're going like, I think we're supposed to be gone now, aren't we? Does that mean that I'm going to hell? Does that mean I'm not saved? Where did they all go? They all went somewhere. Maybe? No, they're on vacation? Oh, okay, yeah, they're not on vacation. Okay, well, so where did they go? Well, yeah, whoopee. You know, so what's going on with all that? Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. So that's what you got to start thinking about. So, you know, when you start believing for the wrong thing, everywhere you go and all the information you get, every time you see something in the Bible, you're going to start going, yep, there's confirmation, because confirmation can be a bit deceptive at times, right? It can be deceptive. So you got to think about that. So all these people, if they'd all had dreams that they saw somebody stealing Trump's presidential election badge or something like that, you know, then it would have been different. You know, Trump won, but somebody stole his badge or whatever they would have, you know, like there was a symbolic of his presidential election was stolen. That would have been different. That would have been more possible of interpretation to going, yeah, well, they didn't really miss that. But most of them just start arguing that, no, he would have won it, but, you know, I'm going like, you know, but I don't know. Just weird to me. So your information, once information starts getting out there, once something starts spreading, then people start having dreams and visions and all kinds of things about the words that these prophets are saying and doing that they believe in, because it starts being pumped around everywhere. Everybody starts talking about it. Oh, yeah, Trump, you're going to win. Trump said, man, we're going to have four more years. And then it's going to be the vice president, you know, Mike Pence, and then it's going to be Pence for 8 years, and then we're going to take over the whole United States of America. Yeah. And then the whole time, if you've been listening to us long, the whole time, You know, I'm given information that it's just the opposite of all that. In general, God is getting ready to bring this whole thing to an end. So not allowing Trump to get in there, which would have been fun, would have been exciting, you know, but God had other ideas. And to this day, people still rebuke me to say, well, you know, you know, understand, we still won the election, but Biden just stole it. So we still won, so we're still right. I'm going like, you people, this is amazing. Absolutely amazing. So God didn't tell anybody. I guess God didn't know that they were going to, quote, steal the election. So your information, friend, is extremely important to where you go, how you're being led. And if you're being led by people who are just, you know, got caught up in something, yeah, so-and-so said this, and we really believe in him or her, and then they start spreading that around, and the people start having dreams and visions about it, and, you know, oh, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I had a dream last night about that. And then there's another dream, another dream, another dream, another dream. And all of a sudden, pretty soon, it's a frenzy. And everybody's saying, can you see how the Christian world can be duped, friend? Can you see that? It can be duped. And that's why we need to make sure that we're listening to the right voices and going the right directions. You get out there on your own with things that are not God. I don't care if you have a thousand, hundred thousands of words about something. If it's not God, it's not going to come to pass. Unity with wrong information does not make something happen. Oh, we're going to have unity on this. I remember some of those prophet guys were saying, literally, you know, many of them were saying, okay, we need you people to pray this word because just because we're prophesying don't mean it's going to come to pass. Well, I kind of understood what they meant. Like, then it's up to the people to bring it to pass by praying? I don't think so. I don't think so. And so, you know, we got to get back to what the real prophets do, what real prophet is, does. Prophets do not prophesy what God wants. They prophesy what God is going to perhaps allow, what God is going to do, but not what God wants. Teachers teach that. Preachers preach that. That's awesome. We need that. But when God says, I want repentance, and he doesn't get it, then he has to do what he doesn't want to do. So, friend, let me tell you something. God is bringing us to a realm of showing us how to cleanse the church from all this stuff that all of us have been subject to for many, many years. God is going to little by little begin to cleanse us and wash us by his love and by his mercy and by his grace. And having the truth and having the right information is extremely important. Let me give you a scripture here tonight. John 16, we talked about part of this the other night. John 16, verse 4. We'll go to verse 1. John 16, verse 1. I want you to listen to this because this is really, really important word. Listen to how Jesus says this. It's amazing. He says, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. Why were they going to fall away? Because what he was about to prophesy to them is that some of them were going to be killed. Some of them will be put out of their synagogues. And they're going to say and Jesus says, those people that are going to be killing you, they're going to be thinking they're doing God a service. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father, nor me. All right, verse 1. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling. Do you hear the shepherd, the real shepherd, Jesus Christ, talking here? I'm telling you these things to keep you from falling away. Because what's going to happen when people don't get raptured out, or the merchandising thing, their money starts falling apart and they start blaming it. You know, if we tell people the truth, when what we say starts happening instead of not happening, the people that have all this information given to them that's not going to happen, it's going to cause them to fall away. John 16, verse 1, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. Everybody say that with me. To keep you from falling away. So I don't know about anybody else, but anybody else is preaching. I don't really keep up with that much. I'll tell you right here in PGN, you shouldn't be falling away. because we told you this stuff was coming. And still it's hard to receive, right? Yeah, it's difficult. Who wants to hear? Verse 2, they will put you out of synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming, Jesus says, when whoever kills you, oh, you mean they're going to kill us, Lord? They're doing service to God? Really? Whoa. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father or me, Jesus said. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. In other words, some of you, some of the people who have rejected the message that I've given about the pre-trib and about a bunch of other things are going to be able to go, hey, we heard Chandler say that. He was one of the few, sometimes the only one. They're going to remember that, to tell you. That's what's been my job sometimes. I love it. I'm not complaining at all. But let me tell you something, friend. Sometimes it's like you have to stand alone, and Jesus said, he said, I'm not going to whitewash this thing for you and tell you, yeah, you're all going to be caught up, you're all going to be gone, you're all going to be out here. The second coming is going to come. Get ready for it every day. Look for it every day so they won't put you out of the synagogues and kill you. Oh, that's not going to happen to you. You're going to be caught up. He said, I'm telling you these things to keep you from falling away so that when it starts happening, verse 3, they will do the same. Verse 4 says, because I said these things to you that when the hour comes, you will remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. In other words, he didn't tell them this in the beginning. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? You know why? You know why they weren't asking where he was going? Because they had false information about him. You know what that false information was? When the Messiah comes, he's going to rule from the throne of David forever. What was that? Wrong, 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 wrong information. That's why they weren't asking where he was going. One of the reasons. Now I'm going to him who sent me. Like, I'm going to go away like I said I was going to, and none of you are even asking me, where are you going? Like, you've been ministering way too much. You're a little tired. Get you some sleep. I know that pillow that you left probably in the boat when you were sleeping on the pillow in the boat when the storm was raging, you probably left your pillow in the boat because you got so excited, you know, that the storm stopped, but you left your pillow there, and since you've lost that pillow, Mr. Pillow, it's not comforting you anymore, so you haven't been sleeping that good. You're having some issues. That's why we're not asking you where you're going, because you ain't going nowhere. He said, I'm going to go away. I'm not going to rule from the throne of David right now. In verse 6, because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Like, they didn't want to hear that. People, sometimes you got to tell things to people the truth, and they're not. And sorrow is going to fill their heart. Talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus just filled them with sorrow. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. See, they were still wrestling with, he's not going away. And he's trying to tell them, I'm going away, brothers. For if I do not go away, the helper is going to help you get through this synagogue situation you're going to be in. They're going to be killing you, thinking you're doing it in God's service. He can't come and help you if I don't go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come, or the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And the disciples, verse 25, he says, man, you're speaking plainly now. No more figures of speech, verse 25. Verse 29. Man, dude, what's up, Mr. Chandler? The light's shining a little brighter, but I don't think everybody likes the light. They're not liking it. Exposing a lot. And then we're just getting started exposing things. And it's not me exposing anything. It's the light of Jesus that exposes it. Right? Yeah, that was going to be my warm-up scripture tonight. And I ended up getting a lot of revelation on that and kind of getting stuck on that. Good place to get stuck. I have a lot more I want to talk about, but So, friend, you see that message there, John 16, verse 1, I've said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They're going to put you out of synagogues. They're going to think you're going to kill you thinking you're doing God a favor. And I'm telling you stuff so when it starts happening to people, you're not going to freak out and go, well, he didn't tell us he's going to die, some of us. He's supposed to tell us everything's going to be fine. It'll be great. Going to get raptured out. Yeah. So that's the purpose. He was telling them all this stuff beforehand. But now we got preachers. We got people saying just the opposite. Believe me, people are going to be falling away, friend. Get ready for the greatest falling away. Talk about the opposite of revival. It's going to be the opposite of revival in some ways because people are going to be falling away like crazy. I already got people whining and complaining to me about things I've never heard them whine and complain about. I mean, you know, just stupid stuff, not normal, regular stuff. We all have normal, regular stuff. We get a little whiny sometimes. I do. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about stuff that's surprising me. Like, whoa, I didn't know their heart was really there. My gosh, that's amazing. What a revelation. Oh, you kind of know already, but, you know, you hope that people change, you know. Yeah. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're not going to. You might as well get used to that, too. I'm not going to tell you everybody's going to change. All your family members are going to go, man, you're such a great woman of God, honey. We just didn't see it before. Now you're so awesome. Oh, son. Oh, my brother. You're such a great man of God. We just couldn't see it before. Do you think they're all going to tell you that, friend? Let me tell you something. Jesus said just the opposite. He said, you know, they're not going to recognize you. They'll see you as the old Randy, the old whoever you are. They're never going to see you in Jesus like that. They may see some change in you, but they can't really see, you know, yet. You know, it's like, and they're not going to be telling you, you know, what a great man of God. Oh, yeah, that message, uh-huh. That's really awesome. I'm not saying everybody. Some people are going to tell you that because they love you. Even if they don't see it, they're going to say it because they want to encourage you. But even your own family, friend, yeah, we need to hear the truth. We need to be prepared for what's really going to go on instead of this phony information that the enemy's been putting out for years. And it's extremely popular, just like the teaching of Jesus. When he comes, he's going to sit on the throne of David. That's why they were asking where you're going, Lord. He says, you guys are not even asking me where I'm going. Because they thought he was like a little loony in that area. Or maybe he means something mystically spiritual, deeply. That's really deep. Yeah, Lord, you're going to be gone. Yeah, we understand. You're going to be gone. You're going to be here physically, but you're going to be gone. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can feel that one. Lord's going, no. I mean, literally. And they couldn't see it. They were blind. They couldn't see it, brother. They couldn't see that he was caught up right in front of them. He said, come on, I'm going up to the little mountain over here. And he literally just got caught up right in front of them so they could see that he was speaking the truth to them. Yeah, but he said, you guys, through my tribulation, and once I went through my tribulation, my troubled time, my cross, my crucifixion, my denial of all my brothers, my betrayal, I went through that, so now I can leave. But you, not yet. You're going to go through some stuff. And I'm telling you this so you won't be falling away. That make your heart sad? Well, I don't feel too bad because that's what happened when Jesus told them that. I've told you these things. And now sorrow has filled your heart. Verse 6. Yeah. I think it's fun to tell people that they don't have to go through any troubles, really, no major troubles. It's going to be fine. Yeah, don't worry. Antichrist ain't going to chop your head off because you're going to be gone. serious. That is really it. And so I'm not going to go to phase two tonight. I'm going to take callers. And anyway, so I hope, you know, I really just wanted to open up tonight and just kind of quote that scripture and move on to some other things. I got a lot of things I want to share with you. I have a whole lot I want to share with you, actually. Okay, and I want to give you the scriptures on why, real quick before I move on, I want to give you some scriptures of when I say, in Christ I lie not. I want to give you the scriptures on in Christ I lie not. Okay, why I say that. There's a reason why I'm saying all that. There's a purpose behind every bit of it. And so I want to give those to you because some people have asked me about them. And I call it the I lie not scriptures. In Christ, I lie not scriptures. These are awesome, man. These are awesome. All right. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 31. I'm explaining to you, I'm going to start sharing more about this, why we're doing this, how the enemy has convinced the church that there's no swearing. In other words, when you say something, you just say it, and if that's not good enough, then you're lying. Have you ever had somebody say that? You can't just say what you're saying without saying, in Christ, I lie not, then you must be lying. Right? Anybody ever heard that? I've heard it. I've had people tell me that lately. Why do you keep saying that? You lying? You know, well, it's biblical. We got to go by the Bible, not how you feel, right? Not our emotions, not how we feel, not what we think, not what everybody's always told us, not what my favorite preacher always told me, or my favorite prophets always told me. We got to go by the Word of God, and I got four scriptures with you for you on this. All right, this is my in Christ I lie not scriptures, or in God I lie not. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 31. Says, you can read it in different versions if you want, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he who blessed forever knows what that I don't lie. He brings in God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he who is blessed forever knows that I don't lie. Now, Paul must be a big liar. He brought God the Father and Jesus and everybody on that one. 2 Corinthians 11:31. Read it for yourself. Because I'm going to expose the devil on some of his trash. He's been feeding the body of Christ. And I used to teach it too. I've taught it. I said, if you can't just say yay and nay, be lying. I've said this. I'm talking about stuff I said. And one day the Lord gave me this really weird thought. And I thought, that's really weird. And so I checked the weird thought out. And sure enough, it broke my religious institutional thinking and took me to the Bible. Literally the Word of God. All right, Galatians 1:20 is the second one. Galatians 1:20. Now about the things which I write to you, behold, before God, I'm not lying. Paul must have had a real lying problem, right? If that's true, I mean, what they told me and what I told people, I told people the same thing. You can't just say, yeah, no, you're lying. You must be lying. You have to that they add a little spunk to it. You ever told your kids that? You ever told them, I've done it? I've done it. No condemnation, friend. I've done it. I've said it. Romans 9:1. Holy Paul said, I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. As confirmed by my conscience and the Holy Spirit. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. All right, here's my last one. Then I'm going to take calls. All right. 1 Timothy 2:7. 1 Timothy 2:7. For this reason, I was appointed as a preacher, an apostle, and a faithful and true teacher of the Gentiles. I'm telling the truth. I am not lying about anything. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying about anything. I don't know. Is that funny to y'all? I just love it. When I start seeing all this stuff, I'm going like, how could I be telling such nonsense when it's exactly opposite in the Bible? I mean, I did that. So I'm admitting I messed that up. And the Lord took me scriptures and started showing me stuff, man. It was mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. Anyway, just letting you know, Bible, we have a lot of liars. The world, the Bible says the world is full of liars. So how did God do the lying thing? How do you deal with lying? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. And that's in the new, this is all New Testament stuff. I could take it to the Old Testament and show you where, like Abraham, there's many times, David, many times, that Abraham made his servant swear, put your hand on my thigh and swear to me. Swear to me, servant, that you're not going to, you know, do any, you're going to find me a wife from my family, from my tribe. Swear to me you're going to do that. Anybody swear. So we're going to get this all out in the open and why the government uses the swearing thing too. Now they use it to their advantage, of course, and use it wrongfully. Of course they do. But it's still biblical, and that's where they got it from. Was from the Bible and from Old Testament scripture and New Testament scripture. It's a special point in which a person says, now, I'm soberly minded here, and I'm telling the truth, and I am not lying. I swear to God. That's in the Bible. I just read you four scriptures, and there's a bunch more. I know people struggle with that. Maybe you. I was taught by my mama and my daddy and all my spiritual friends all my life. You don't have to say that, Randy. But it's in the Bible, friend. And I'm stirring up people on purpose with it because I want to start sharing something that God showed me that the enemy uses to let lies enter into the body of Christ. He has a lying thing to deal with lies. Deliberate willful lies. Not mistaken lies. Deliberate willful. Right? That's why Jesus called the Satan a liar. He's the father of lies. So what's his favorite strategy to defile the body of Christ? What do you think that is? Lies. I'm not like deliberate willful lies. Did you sell this for that much? Yeah. And they lied. Like in an instance of fire. Outright, deliberate, willful lie. Not a mistake. Not, I think, you know. All right, let's take callers tonight. I know. I don't know. Monday. Are Mondays like this every Monday? I don't really keep up much. But thanks for being here. And we are moving forward. And we're getting to the plain spoken realm, obviously, that, you know, it's going to be amazing to watch and hear and listen. And we become plain spoken. And all this traditional nonsense is going to go out the window. We're going to wash it right out with the Word of God. Not with, you know, strong manipulative of Scripture, but we're going to wash it out by the Word of God. The washing of regeneration of the Holy Spirit, of the Word of God. All right, let's take our first caller here, 828-989. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
I'm Jennifer from North Carolina.
This who?
Jennifer from North Carolina. Hi, Randy.
Okay, I'll hang on a second here. I mean, let me plug in my device here. I'm sorry about that. Okay, I think I got you plugged in good now. Okay, what was your name again?
Jennifer.
Jennifer. Oh, hi, Jennifer. All right.
Hi.
My device. After three times, I got it. All right. All right, Jennifer, let's pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Jennifer. Thank you, Jesus, for every spot, wrinkle, and blemish, God, that you're dealing with spot, wrinkles, and blemishes and things that to cleanse and wash and make whole and shutting every door through ignorance. Sometimes a lot of the doors that we have opened up are through ignorance, not through deliberate willful things, but through ignorance and through misteaching and through being taught. You know, my mom and dad were really great people. They taught me things that were not, you know, in the Bible, you know, and it wasn't like bad things. They didn't have to do bad things, but there were things that God had to, that were traditional for me. And the Lord had to take me through traditional things because, you know, now that I'm, you know, a servant of the Lord, you know, I'm responsible to not teach, you know, traditions passed down by my family or by anybody else, but by, you know, by the Word of God, and teach the Word of God. And so I think God's doing this with all through the body of Christ right now, especially right now. I think there's a real opening up of Jesus speaking very plainly to us about things and helping us to, you know, like with me, like I used to teach all the time. If you can't just say something right out, you have to say, in Christ I lie not, then you must be lying. And then I started reading the Bible, you know, about that and going, oh my gosh, I've been talking about that for years. That's not right. So, and then I realized why the enemy had little by little reason, through great reason, the wrong kind of reasons, you know, through reasoning power, reasoned it right out of the scripture, reasoned it right out of Christians' minds to the point where everybody's passing that around. And yet it's totally not biblical at all. And that God showed me the strategy of the enemy in doing that. That was shocking. I went, man, the devil is really good at lying. He's a good liar. He's the best liar I think I've ever seen. You know, I used to do some lying myself, you know, and man, oh my gosh, he is really good. He's lied so much and so good at it. He's got Christians and preachers preaching his lies, and we just think it's all holy. And then somebody comes up and says something about the Word of God, says what the Word of God says about it, and they get stoned for it. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about me particularly, but you know, then we get stoned for it. Yeah, so it's amazing that we get stoned for this stuff. So, yeah. Anyway, all right. And so I see God really taking spot, wrinkles, and blemishes out. That's what he's doing with all of us. It's basically to Jennifer. But I see God really doing that and shutting doors of ignorance, shutting doors of tradition, because tradition, like this scripture I just quoted, you know, four different scriptures that Paul, plus there's a bunch of others in the Old Testament and even more in the New Testament, about the opposite of what I've been told most of my life, and even by preachers and by, you know, I mean, that was a pretty big one, actually. When that came to me, I thought, I got to have some proof of that, man, because it's so God started opening my eyes. I started reading scripture. Everywhere I saw what a bunch of lying that was and why the enemy did it. That's just shocked me, how he has strategies of not us going out and, you know, stealing, cheating, and lying, but just passing on something of his that's not even true. And we don't even realize that's just one of them, but one of the strategies of hell, take away truth and telling the truth from and protecting the body of Christ from lies. Right out, right, that scripture right there, or that whole thing, right out the window. And opened up a door for lying, and the father of lies to come in, and people just, you know, lying about anything. They're lying, gossip about somebody, they don't even think a thing about it. There's no fear of God in much of the church. You know why? Because of that. I mean, not just because of that, but that's one of the things. It's not about, we don't make people, say in Christ I lie not. When I say, well, I'm only saying it, but that's what they told me. That's what my friend told me. My friend, he's right on, man. He's telling me that they said. So you're passing along something that they said? Yeah, no, I swear. I'm telling the truth. That's what they told me. Well, how do you know what they told you is true or not? Well, because they're a very reputable person. So you're staking your life, and you're possibly, without any proof, passing a lie on, which is called gossip and slandering. You're passing that on to other people about that person when you don't even know at all. You're just taking the word of a person. Did they swear in Christ's name before? No, they don't believe in that. I can understand why. Because I'm getting that what you're getting is a lie. Somewhere, somebody passed down as a lie. It's been being passed down. It's also so that so-and-so did this, and then so-and-so passes on them because they know that person doesn't gossip. They're reputable. So they're passing on, and pretty soon 5,000 people got this whole thing, and like everybody got it wrong. Totally ruined that person's reputation because nobody took the time to go through the scriptural, biblical way of finding out something and getting the truth, and therefore brought shame on themselves without even knowing they were doing it, defiled themselves without meaning to do it, didn't know they were doing it. They were just taking the word of another person. And the only thing they could swear to, if you could get them to swear to in Christ's name,
and say in Christ's name, I tell them it's the fact that that's exactly what the person told them. You're not adding or taking away from it, huh? No, I swear, Christ's name. I'm telling the truth. That's exactly what they told me that that person did. But you don't know it personally, right? Well, you know, they said it. And so God has, you know, so all this thing I'm saying, is talking to Jessica, kind of we're hitting everything we're talking to Jessica tonight, that God has a way to stop those lies and stop the destruction of people. And yet, one of the very scriptures, or many scriptures that Paul put out there, and then one of the very strategies that God got to keep the lies from being spread, we've thrown it out saying, if you just can't say the truth, if you can't say what you got to say without saying, in Christ I line up, then you must be lying. And yet it's biblical. So you see what I'm saying? Things like that, I see God really opening up things that where doors have been opened without us having really particularly done a bad, nasty thing to open up a bad, nasty door. Yet the doors are open, and we can't figure out why. So thank you, Jesus, for her. Thank you for her life. Thank you for her dedication to you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for opening up and showing her, just like you're doing me. You're showing me a lot of traditional things that I've believed in and taught for years that are just nothing but hogwash. Not biblical at all, if you read the Bible. Not biblical at all. So, amen, in Jesus' name. And once those doors are shut, as God shuts them through revelation to you, Jennifer, you know, even the acts, the ones that are not on purpose, not the thing you didn't necessarily done deliberately and willfully wrong, just doors through, you know, things that have been passed down. God's going to shut those doors and bless you and protect you and keep you and watch over you. Amen? All right, there you go. All right, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how are you doing tonight? What is up?
I'm doing good. That's pretty much what he's been doing. And, it, you know, he's just showing me all this division. And it's just kind of put me in a dark place because I just felt kind of lost. And like, well, where do I turn? You know, who can I listen to, Lord? So, yeah, that's what he's been doing.
Yeah. Now, are you the one, Jennifer, that one night I saw a, like, water coming out of a water hose and it was going to the right and to the left? Was that you?
No.
No, okay. That must have been another Jennifer. Yeah, okay. Because I was thinking about that today, and I thought, I don't know if that's the Jennifer that I gave that word to. One night I gave a word to somebody like that. I said, I see water coming out of like a water hose, you know, like and it's split down the middle. Like the water's not coming out the middle, but it's coming out, it's going to the right and to the left. And then they told me, they said, I have a picture sitting right in front of me right now, Randy, that has that very thing, except it's a waterfall. I said, what? She said, yeah.
Oh, that
it's
was
like a waterfall.
That was me. That was me. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
You were talking
I thought
about
it was.
The water. Yes, yes, yes.
I'm sorry.
But it's
I'm
really
sorry.
Odd
I
that you
the
should mention
yeah.
the. Yeah, it was the waterfall, but it's odd that you should mention the a water hose because he's kind of been showing, kind of teaching me how to use my eye prophetically, and he showed me a water hose. Actually, it was a fire hose, you know,
yeah.
Today, and yeah, with a hydrant, and was speaking to me about that. So that's interesting. You said that. Wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I remember how I saw that, and I was kind of surprised at that. I said, "Why do you want me to tell her? Why do you want me to tell her that?" And I used the only way I could describe what I was seeing. I didn't see a water hose when I first. When I got that information, you know, a month ago, whatever that was for you, that's the only way I could describe it was that what I saw was I saw water going out to the right and water going out to the left. And and so you said that you were sitting there and looking at a picture right in front of you. Is that correct? Is that
yes,
you, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, it was a prophetic painting that was done. Yes, that was me. Yes.
Oh, so that was a prophetic painting. I didn't know that.
It was a prophetic painting where you know, Jesus is standing there with me at the waterfall, and it was like the water was being, it was coming out of different ways, but there were angels that were blocking, that were moving rocks, and so it would just like be one big gush instead of going all directions. So
all different directions, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when I gave you that word, you said you were, you said, you told me, I thought that was you, but I wasn't sure. You said you were, when I gave that word to you that night, you were actually sitting wherever you were sitting. You were sitting right in front of that picture when I gave that word to you. Is that correct?
Yes, I am right now. Yeah.
Oh, you are right now? Okay. I'll say, because you sit there a lot then, I guess. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
That's amazing.
Remember. Yeah.
Yeah, because people tell me sometimes, they said, it's they tell me this, I've had it this several times, it's like you have a camera, and you're watching me on camera. I'm going like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I've had several people actually tell me that, and I've had some people think that I spy on them. I've had several people. I had a lady from Australia, or was it New Zealand, I can't remember. She used to call in, you know, all the time, and she said, I don't even know why I'm talking about this. Somebody needs to hear this. She said, Randy, she was a little bit, I could tell her voice was a little bit nervous. She's going like, you know, my husband and I just got through talking about this in the car on the way here back to the house from that being in town or something. I mean, I said, what are you talking about? She said, no, you don't understand. I said, you just talked about the things that we were talking about in the car. And so every time I would talk to her on the phone, not every time she would say it, but she would go like, now, how do you do that? I'm going, I don't even know what you're talking about. How do I do what? She said, how do you know, like, what was going on here in Australia? I said, girl, I don't know. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit that knows, because I don't know nothing. I don't see nothing. I don't, you know, I'm just sitting here, you know. And she says, yeah, she said, you do this way too often, and it's so – she was so freaked out by this. Her and her husband literally made a trip to Dallas, and they said, we're coming to Dallas because we want to meet you. And I'm going, okay, that's fine. Yeah. So we sat there and met at some restaurant downtown Dallas, and she says, you're just very regular. I said, yeah, I'm very regular. There's nothing unusual, you know. I mean, I'm just a regular person. And they said, we just had to come and meet you because we've never seen anything like it before. I'm going, I said, I think there's people like that all over the place. You just don't know it, you know. And so she started asking me some really, really weird questions, which kind of shocked me. Some of the things she shocked me about. Anyway, I don't want to talk about those right now. But so I don't know why I started thinking about that all of a sudden. I just started remembering that lady when I'm talking to you. But this is what I think God wants to do with you, Jennifer, is use you to do that, to walk in that place with God, and to, you know, to be able to communicate to people, you know, things that are relevant to them for today or last week or right now or whatever they're going through. It's not just stuff that just kind of like, oh, yeah, you know. I mean, sometimes you get information as a prophet about all kinds of things. I mean, I've got information about things that people just say, we don't even know what you're talking about. We've never even thought about that. We've never wanted that. Where did you get that at? You know, I thought everything the prophetic was supposed to confirm everything. I said, well, I don't know where you got that at, because that's actually not in the Bible. But it says, let everything be confirmed by two or three. And when people prophesy, it says, let it bear witness with you. And they took bearing witness with you, meaning that they had to have pre-knowledge of it to bear witness. I said, no, bearing witness has nothing to do with that. It has to do with when I gave you that word that you didn't know what I was talking about, did you feel in your spirit like something of it was God? And they go, yeah, of course. I go, well, that's bearing witness. And they thought, oh, my gosh, I never thought about that before. That's bearing witness? We thought it meant that we had to already have pre-knowledge of the word before you gave it to us. So you confirmed it. I said, well, you know, prophets have a whole different realm of prophecy. They can do that. They do that, and they also give words that nobody's ever seen or known before. Because the Bible says, how can God reveals things, only reveals things to the prophets before he does something in the earth. He'll reveal something to a prophet. In other words, a prophet gets things that nobody's ever seen or known before, you know. And I've had people in meetings, and don't ask me why I'm talking about this, but somebody needs to hear this, I guess, and God's using you to draw it out of me. I've had many, many meetings where people would show up at the meeting and I'd call them out and prophesy, which I prophesy to every person in every meeting if they stayed long enough. I'd call them out and prophesy over them, and they would get mad and tell the people who invited them. They said, tell him, when you talk to him, tell him we didn't come here for that. We came here for something else completely different. And he said all this stuff about you're going to be this, you're going to be that, and you're going to do this, you're going to do that. We didn't come here for that. He's not a prophet. You know, tell him we said that. So they came and they told me that. And what happened was these same people who came and told me that they said that gave those people my phone number, right, the ones I gave the false prophecy to. And those same people, the reason they gave me my phone number is because about a month later, I remember 2, 3, 4 weeks later, 5 weeks later, they called me up after calling me a false prophet. They called me up, and they said, Randy, we had to call you personally and apologize to you. I said, who is this, and what are you talking about? They said, we told, you know, and so I remember you told so-and-so. Okay, now I know who you are. So I'm a false prophet. Okay, no, I've been called a false prophet before, no problem. So, but what's going on? Why are you calling me? You calling me to give me the double whammy and chew me out? They went, no, everything you told us just opened up for us today. I said, you got to be kidding me. They said, no, we couldn't believe it. I mean, it blew our mind, and it set them on a whole different realm of life. They had no thought of it. They had not dreamed of that. They didn't even think about it. It was not in their bucket list for doing things for God. And all of a sudden, they were on radio, doing a radio show. They said, Randy, the things you told, we couldn't even believe it. That somebody called us up and asked us to do a radio show. We didn't even tell anybody. We didn't even want to do radio. And you know what? They said, we can tell we're going to love it. Because all of a sudden, our whole life changed. And they said, we want to personally ask your forgiveness. And I said, it's okay. It happens all the time. Don't worry about it. I take it personally. And I've had this happen many times with people to, you know, tell him about it. I've had that happen many times. And then, you know, later, you know, somehow or another, I find out that, you know, so it's just part of it. And so I guess I'm telling you this because every time you give somebody a word, as a prophet at least, or a person who prophesies to people, I'm not calling you a prophet, but a person who prophesies to people, prophesying to people doesn't mean they're always going to have pre-knowledge of everything you just told them. Even though, you know, with you, I just gave you a word last week. It wasn't pre-knowledge, but it was like you were sitting right in front of a picture that described kind of what I was saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, who would have thought that? That was amazing. You know, that was mind-boggling. So sometimes you get that information, prophetic and prophet information. You may have had it, said it in your car on your way home, in the privacy of your car on your way home, or you might have said it back in the bathroom or in the bedroom. I've had some people say, yeah, we talked about that in the bedroom last night. I said, well, you know, I mean, I wasn't there, I promise. I wasn't in your bedroom. I don't know why you're saying that. They said, how do you do that? I said, I don't do it. The Lord don't you think the Lord knows what you were talking about in your bedroom? And they go, yeah, but, I mean, that was very specific. I went, okay, well, I'm sorry. I mean, it wasn't bad information. I didn't expose you publicly and say you were some kind of a weirdo or something, right? They said, no, I didn't do that. But we're just talking about that information in our bedroom, the privacy of our bedroom. We're going like, oh, okay. So you start realizing, and this is where many people hopefully listening to me tonight that want to prophesy, and some of you are prophets, that you think because you think you understand everything that a prophet does because somebody taught you and they don't have a clue what the heck they're talking about. Don't have a clue what they're talking about when they're talking about prophets. Don't have a clue. You need to throw that stuff out the window or just throw it in the trash because most of it is misinterpreted and a bunch of nonsense. And so people who are trying to be prophets and turn out to prophesy, they don't say it. Somebody calls them a false prophet. you know, and they got going, oh, Randy, you told me I was going to prophesy to people, and I gave somebody a word, and they called me a false prophet. I'm going like, oh, dear God, get over it, because it's going to keep happening to you. You know, so just keep going, and maybe they'll come back and tell you that it was different. I've had that happen to me many times. People come back and tell me, yeah, that word you gave me, and it didn't make any sense. I didn't have anything about it, but when I gave you the word, did part of it feel like it, any of it feel like it was of God at all? They said, yeah, it felt like it was God, but we'd never heard that before. So we were told that when that happens, that they're false prophets. I'm going, well, that just tells you how goofy some people are when they teach the Bible. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. Because when you live this stuff, you know. You know that what they're saying is a bunch of horse manure. Most of the time. Thank God manure can be used for fertilizer. Well, we can turn it and use it for fertilizer, but other than that, it's worthless. So get ready, Jennifer, and let God open up to you the realm of the supernatural with the Lord Jesus. And you don't have to be a prophet to see things and know things, to speak things over people. You know, you just have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows what they're saying in their bedroom. He knows things that they've never even talked about, ever dreamed about, that he's been wanting to show them, but they haven't been able to get it yet. So you get used to tell them things they don't know, they've never seen, never heard, and then they turn around and call you a false prophet. And then when it comes to pass, they're going, oh, excuse me, I didn't mean that. I messed up. I said, yeah, you know what? Because it's wrong teaching. If somebody's teaching you the wrong stuff, that's what's happening. And so we have a bunch of people out there, Jennifer, and I've gotten used to it, you know. Sometimes it offends me, but very seldom ever, because I've had it happen so many times, after a while you just kind of used it. They're telling people stuff that totally miscalculating and giving misunderstanding about the prophetic. So when people start prophesying, and if it doesn't all line up with what somebody already said, they're not going, oh, that was a false prophecy. So they quit prophesying because they weren't strong enough to know, because they got wrong teaching telling them all this nonsense.
Mm.
So, you know, there's so much stuff that God's going to break this traditional bunch of nonsense. Some of the things I have believed too, some of the things I've taught and believed, God has shown me. I sort of go through Scripture and finding that, you know, I'm going, man, I don't know, where did they get that from? That's not in the Bible. I've been talking about it. Where did I get it from? Well, I got it from my preacher, the people I respected. They said this and they said that, and I just kind of, you know, saw a couple of Scriptures here and there and put it together, and, you know, okay, you know, and kind of find out, you know, not that they are liars or false prophets because they did it, because they were told the same thing like they told me, and that's how things get passed down. So I'm not calling them false teachers or anything. I'm just saying that, you know, there's so much things that are being taught and preached that are not of God, that are opening up the door to all kinds of trash and nonsense, that the enemy comes in without any, he just strolls right in. I mean, he don't have to check in with anybody at the door. He's like, oh, the door's open wide. Wow. Yeah. And he walks in and starts doing all kinds of things, and nobody even has a clue what's going on. I don't know why the devil, you know. Yeah, well, you know, I'm not doing anything wrong on purpose or anything. What is it? Well, yeah, we're all going to learn, and a lot of the tradition that we've been taught, a lot of it's just, it's opened up doors for the enemy. The enemy's a great liar. He's lied to some of the most wonderful, gracious, kind people, and who's he going to, who could pass a lie better than a kind, wonderful, gracious, honest person, right? Who could pass a traditional thing that's of tradition and that is not the truth, not in the Bible, than a really kind, gracious, wonderful person? So he takes the most wonderful, kind, gracious, beautiful people who have just a great personality, and he uses them to pass the stuff down, and they don't even know that they're passing it down. They don't even know it. Everybody, oh, they're so sweet. They're so wonderful. I just know that he's a prophet of God. I just know she's a teacher from heaven. I just know it. She's so wonderful. You know, and she's not doing it on purpose, so he's not doing that stuff on purpose, but it's still defiling the body of Christ. You know, and so there's no blame, there's no condemnation on anybody for that, because we've all received, you know, traditional things passed down. But God is getting ready to clean it up, man. And it's going to shut a lot of doors that people have attacks of the enemy and don't know why they're being attacked by the enemy, or why all this stuff goes wrong with them. Well, Jennifer, I'm picking on you tonight. I'm using you tonight to talk about a lot of stuff. Sorry.
Praise God. You're my first Praise cut. God.
Yeah. So what do you think? What's going on?
That's pretty much, he's just kind of taking me away from everything and just have me sit down and let me teach you, and kind of like crucified life, really. Just a lot of dying to self and showing me what life is like in him and how to live that life. So
he's
doing something.
Right. You know, and the dying to self message.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The dying to self message has also been attacked, too. I mean, I guess it always has, but I personally believe in it. I teach it myself. But there's some really well-known people that teach the dying to self message is a lie, because when we got born again, we all died to self, and that's it, you know. And I'm not going to mention a name. I'd mention a name if I could quote him exactly. But and because, you know, I mean, we all have stuff sometimes, you know, but we're a really well-known guy on TBN, and he teaches that, you know, the dying to self message is nothing but deception, because we're already dead and we just don't realize it, you know. And so I don't believe that at all. I don't think that way at all. I believe in the dying to self message because our spirit man, he's already all cool. He's been totally recreated. Our spirit man has been. That's the only part of us that could be totally recreated without messing us up. Most people don't understand why. The soul, which has all of our memories in it, all of our past, all of our belief systems, all of our thinking, that's in our soul. And our soul has stuff that needs to be renewed, right? That's why the Bible talks about renewing our mind. Well, to me, renewing of the mind and dying to self are very similar. Right, because if you're believing something, you're really into something, in your mind you believe something, even though your spirit man may know what you're believing is just much nonsense, you know, but your soul, your mind is what you see and know and feel every day, and it's part of your history, you know, so you live it. So God couldn't totally do away with all that and recreate that, because you wouldn't know who you were. You'd wake up going like, wow, who am I? I don't have a past. Oh, I don't have nothing. Where did I go? Oh, yes, you got cleansed and washed and totally brand new in Christ Jesus. You don't need to die of self anymore, because you're totally, well, if you didn't have any, if that would have happened to us, we would be really messed up. Does that make sense? That makes sense. Why God didn't totally wipe our minds out and our memories of everything and clean up and change everything instantly? Because he couldn't, because our soul is the part of us that has, it's our memories, it's our past, so he couldn't just come in and just wipe all that clear so we have no past. Who said we have no past? Yeah, you do. It's in your soul. Your spirit man doesn't have a past. He's been totally recreated, totally made brand spanking new. He seats at the right hand of the Father. Though he's in your body, he's still seated with Christ in heavenly place. But your soul has to be renewed little by little. You have to come into agreement with it, and you have to watch the changing from somebody in my past hurt me. I can tell you their name. I know who they are. I can see their face right before me. They really hurt me bad, and that's in my memories. And because I have the power of Christ in my soul, I can choose to forgive them, choose to let God cleanse me and wash me of my hate or unforgiveness or whatever it is that I have for them. And the process, him and I work together in that process, and therefore, you know, it's just not all erased. You see what I'm saying? He couldn't erase all of it. He had to work with us to renew it. That's why your spirit man doesn't get renewed. He gets totally recreated. But your soul is where all your memories and your past and your family and everything you've ever done in your life, it's all wrapped up in there. Even though it's been, the power of forgiveness has been granted to it, and it's cleansed and washed, and it's senseless, but it still has to go through renewal point by point, day by day. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it does. Well, all I know is he's reduced me to helplessness, you know, so I can have a just a deepening of just a complete dependence on Him. Sometimes human wisdom can get in His way, and our faith is hindered by just dependence on outside sources. You know, like you were saying, that, you know, who knows where they got the information. So I just feel like He's just bringing me back around to Himself, and, you know, the Holy Spirit teaching me, and not me not relying on anything that I know right now. The one thing I know is Him. And, you know, we all have our own experiences, and my experience, I know that I'm being crucified, literally. Like, He's been stripping me, but it's been a gift. It's been a gift because I've been blessed by learning who He is, and who He is for me, and who I am in Him. So.
Right. Well, if you had let's say I had a good father and a good mother, but they weren't perfect. So my mother was a little bit of a perfectionist, and so, you know, so I had to deal with the things of dying to self, of, you know, when my mother tried to train me how to do things, she was such a perfectionist that, you know, I couldn't get it because I didn't learn very well when I was younger, and so therefore I couldn't get things, and therefore I got very angry with her because she was expecting way too much of me. My sister could do it. You know, my sister, she was smart. She could catch things. But me, as a kid, it took a while for my brain to kick in. I don't know why. I don't know if anybody else said that, bro. It took a while for my brain to kick in. And so when my brain didn't kick in, then I couldn't perceive things that she was teaching me. And she would get upset with me, thinking that I was just deliberately and willfully being stubborn, right? But she didn't know. She didn't know that I was, you know, maybe half brain dead. My brain hadn't come alive yet, you know, until I got older, because every kid is different. And so I had to work through, you know, things of dying to self, of people, especially spiritual mothers or mothers in the church, would come and try to help me. And I always thought they were just trying to, you know, straighten me out, like my mama, like I thought my mama was trying to do, even though that really was what she was trying to do, but that's the way I looked at it. So I had to die to that. Right, I had to work through and forgive and bless. So to me, that was dying to self. So I believe in the dying to self message very strongly, and we bring things to the cross of Calvary. But, you know, I know people that teach on that, very well-known people that teach that that's just a bunch of hogwash. And, you know,
you just described my childhood, because that's exactly how it was.
Oh, no,
for me,
really?
As well. Yeah, like God just used you big time.
So the example I was using, you know, see, there you go. There's a supernatural world right there. I could have talked about a hundred different things. But what did I talk about as an example? Something that you related to a little bit there, or a lot.
Well, a lot. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, that was for me, for sure.
Wow. Okay. So there you go.
Blessed
That's an example.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Do what?
I said, blessed be His name.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for helping your people. Somebody's sitting there. I'm just sitting there saying my brain was not awake enough for me to absorb my mother's, you know, all of the things she tried to teach me. I just couldn't quite get it right. And so that was a real problem. And I this went on until I got older. Like when I would go in there and try to get help with my math or my whatever it was, you know, trying to have a test going on, and I had nobody to help me. And the way I was, I guess I was just so. It took me a long time for my brain to wake up or get. I think out of my brain didn't wake up until I got saved. That's really what happened. Thank God I got saved at 20 instead of 50. You know, I'd have been in real trouble. But before my brain woke up. You know, my mom would get mad at me, you know, because she didn't know. I'm not blaming her, because my mom was a very, very, very good mother. But she would get mad at me and say, you know, she would try to explain to me, you know, okay, you know, 2 + 2, Randy. Two, you know what two, yeah. You know what 2 + 2 is. It's 4. You get back in that bedroom and you study if you get this right. I'm going like, I need somebody to explain this to me so I can get it. And she thought that I was just, you know, honestly, she thought that I was just being, you know, a kid who was just trying to get attention or trying to get out of the room. You know, I didn't want to be in my room anymore. I didn't want to study anymore. And I was in there, you know, just bothering her, you know, and because I was bored. And that wasn't it at all. I really honestly couldn't get it. And I wanted somebody to explain to me. So finally what happened when that was going on in junior high and then high school, when I got into high school, I became a good athlete, right? I became a good athlete. I became a good football player and baseball player. And so they didn't want me to not pass my grades, because if I didn't pass my grades, I wouldn't be able to play in the team, right? So just to show you how good God is, the quarterback of the team, Gene Sheets, who's now a principal in Muleshoe, Texas, you know where Muleshoe, Texas is, over there by Farwell, Texas, by Lubbock, Texas, somewhere up in that area. God bless you, Gene, if you're listening to that. We went to high school together, and he was a football quarterback, a great guy, a good Church of Christ. He was a Church of Christ guy, real good Church. I was a lost heathen on my way to hell. He was a Church of Christ guy, really good guy. And what he did back when we got up to be, you know, juniors and seniors, is that everybody knew that I had this problem. They just thought that I was just like dumb, you know. Maybe I was, but when he would take me to his home. He would say, "Randy, you're going to come on with me today. We're going to try to make sure you make it," because I was a running back, and I made a lot of touchdowns. You know, I was a good athlete, so they wanted to make sure I passed. So the quarterback of the team takes me to his house, or, you know, especially right before test, and he was really good, and I'm so thankful. He became a principal later. He's a principal right now in Muleshoe, Texas, or he was, you know, a few months ago, maybe a couple of years ago. He might not be now, but he may have gotten older, but I think he still is. Anyway, so he would take me, and he was a really good teacher. And he was patient with me. He taught me the way I could learn. And girl, I started learning stuff, man. I started doing good on my tests. People were like going, "How come Chandler got smart all of a sudden?" You know, because he starts passing his tests pretty good. I mean, I would pass my tests, but barely, like B's. You know, really bad. And it wasn't because I was stupid. I just didn't know how to learn. You know, I don't know why I couldn't learn the way they taught me. So, you know, so God was gracious to me. I don't know why I told that story exactly, but so I had to overcome all that stuff, because my mama, she didn't know. She wasn't a teacher. She was, you know, she was just trying to, you know, have a family and keep the bills paid. And, you know, she had a lot going on, but she couldn't help me. She didn't help me. She couldn't help me. So, you know, I had to deal with that. That was a big problem in my life. I thought I was a real dumb person until I got saved and started reading the Bible, and then all of a sudden I found out that I could memorize things and knew things that I had never been able to do before. Now, all of a sudden, I'm like going, man, this is amazing. I'm like, you know, learning things. And I had to die to that. I had to forgive and, you know, understand that my mother just didn't know, because I was blaming her for that. I had to learn how that my mom, I just didn't know. I had to forgive and love and bless and go on with life. And that was difficult. But when I overcame it, it changed my life.
Well, the learning, like, I'm a visual person, so I think that's why the Lord, you know, speaks to me through visions and images and things like that. Because he knows that that's how I learn the best. But, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm the same way.
Wow.
So we must be a lot alike.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe that's why the Lord is speaking to you tonight about the prophetic realm. Maybe you got that going on inside you, and you don't know it as much as you need to know it or something. I'm not sure.
I think I've really been aware of it, especially over the last month, because, I mean, I'll go for a walk, and I mean, now he's done it before, but it's just like, I can't even look at anything, and I feel like it's like like in rocks, for instance, you know, I'll look down and he'll show me a picture in a rock, and it just happens like constantly now, or like a tree, like I'm literally getting visions and images out of objects, and then he ministers to me, or I have to seek him for what he's trying to show me. Like flamingos, you know, those like lawn flamingos that people have out in the yard. He kept showing me these flamingos, and I questioned him, you know, and I was really struggling. I'm like, Lord, I feel like you're showing me these flamingos, but how do I know it's from you? And I mean, I struggled with this for a month, and he made it really obvious. I walked in a grocery store, and there was this huge 6-foot flamingo balloon, and I'm like, okay. But then it was like what you were talking about earlier, like, is this stuff, you know, am I thinking about this? Am I just this stuff popping up? But after about 3 weeks, you know, seeking him, he finally showed me what he wanted to show me, which was, you know, had to do with the way a flamingo, well, it has to do with a lot. Like a flamingo, when they put their beak down, it's like they scoop and digging. And he was telling me, you know, dig deeper in the word. And then he was telling me about, you know, a flamingo, their brightness, their color depends on what they eat. And, you know, then he started ministering to me about how, you know, we're to feed on his word. And it was just so in-depth. I mean, that's just two examples with the flamingos. But, I mean, he just kept showing me more and more about the flamingos, all having to do with digging deeper into his word and everything. So, like, this is just happening, like, all the time with me now. But I'm not sure, you know, I've been struggling because I'm like, you know, it's just happening. I just not sure what was going on, you know, what he was trying to do with me.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, I think one of the things that's happening is it's once you start, you know, like one of the ways that God speaks to me is that he gives me pictures in my mind. You know, I mean, I don't literally see the picture like you look at a picture and you see the picture. Sometimes that happens, sometimes. But, or like a video going off. When I say I'm going on a trip, I don't know necessarily people, but I don't really see myself going somewhere. It goes to my thoughts. I go on a trip in my thoughts. Like when I'm talking to you tonight about the things with, you know, that I had issues with, and then you just happen to be saying that was, you know, pretty much right on with what you had issues with too. And so, you know, that was a little trip I went on. It was a thought process that I follow. And so most people don't realize that in the supernatural realm, that's one of the ways that God speaks, is that he'll take you on a thought process, and you have to learn how to follow that thought process, just like I was doing just now. I thought, well, I don't want to tell her about my mom thing. I love my mom. My mom, she passed away. My mom was a very good mother, but I'm talking about dying to self and things I had to die to self to, and so I'm going to talk about it anyway, you know. It has nothing to do with my mom. You know, my mom was a good mom. I just misinterpreted her, and she didn't know that I could learn. You know, she didn't know how I learned, so she thought I was just being, you know, an obnoxious, you know, little kid, like some kids can be obnoxious sometimes. And I could definitely be the obnoxious, for sure. So, but when I go on a trip, you know, you learn all the different ways that God speaks, and one of them is, the thought process you go through, you all of a sudden, I want to tell a story about my mom. I'm going, well, why do I want to do that? Well, just follow it, Randy. It means something. So what did it mean something to? Talk to her name is Jennifer from the Carolinas, right? And opens you up to some things. Yeah. And so how beautiful that is and how God does that. And on the other hand, sometimes one of the ways that God speaks is that with me is that he will put a picture in my mind. Just like if I tell you I see a 2-story house, it's white with, a black door, a beautiful black door, shiny black door, and the window units are black, and the trim is black, and the roof is a dark
a dark gray, and has a big red chimney on the right-hand side, and it's got a big rounded porch in the front with four white pillars in the front. Did you just picture that in your mind?
Yes.
Yeah, you just picture that in your mind like most everybody else did. So people don't realize that that's one of the ways that God speaks. In fact, it's one of the most regular ways that God speaks to me. I don't hear a voice in me saying, Randy, there's a two-story house with a black door, with four white columns, with black trim, black window trim, and you know, and a rounded front porch on it with a red chimney on the right-hand side. You know, I don't literally hear a literal voice telling me that, but what's happening is it's going on inside of me silently. I don't hear an audible voice, but he's speaking to me in my spirit from my spirit man, and putting by doing that, my mind gets a picture of it. You see what I'm saying? My mind gets a picture of what the voice of God is speaking to me. It's not audible, but it's still going on inside me silently. But yet my soul is hearing it, and it's painting, my mind is painting a picture of, like you said, I just described to you, if I painted a picture in your mind of that two-story white house, how you paint, you didn't literally see physically a picture, like a real picture, but what you saw was, you know, an image in your mind. And how was that painted? How was that put inside you? Because a voice was telling you that, and your mind drew a picture of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And people don't realize it, Jennifer, but that's one of the main ways that God speaks to people is like that. And they totally miss it because they think it's just their thinking or their thoughts. And therefore, because it doesn't make any sense why they're thinking that, they don't say anything about it. Yeah.
Well, this is really helpful. Yes.
So, yeah, and the reason I'm telling you this is because especially people like you and me who learn through, you know, seeing things like video, I'm a video. When I watch video, I absorb information and learn from a video, from seeing things, better than I do somebody just talking to me.
Yeah.
I'm a visual person. And so not everybody's, I think everybody's visual to a certain degree, but I'm like, if you don't give it to me in a visual sense, I'm probably going to miss it.
Exactly.
Right? And so God knows that about me. So how does he speak to me? People say, how do you get so much information all the time? I mean, are you reading that off your computer? Are you reading it off your phone? Where are you getting that information at? No. 99.9% of the information just comes to me just like I'm talking to you right now. And I follow it like I'm going on a trip. And people, honestly, Jennifer, they really don't understand that. Therefore, they miss out on God using them and speaking through them like crazy.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is really helpful to me because I have a sense of what he's been doing, but you know, I've never really heard anybody tell me, you know, or describe what you just did. And so I questioned whether, okay, am I really hearing from you? And most of that doubting has to do with my past and being deceived in the past by a lot of people. And so it's kind of like my big wound that he's healing me is deception. You know, so that's like a fear of mine. And so I'm like always questioning. I really appreciate you sharing what you did. It really helped.
Yeah. Well, the Lord just has me doing it tonight. And so, anyway, very cool. And so we're doing this for other people too. God uses you to draw things out of me so other people can learn kind of like how it works. But, and there's a lot more. There's a lot more that ways that God speaks, but one of the major ways is the ways that I just explained. And so very cool. So get ready for God to open that up more for you. When we get information, like you got the flamingo thing, at first you didn't understand it. You ask God for confirmation. You walk into the store, there's a big flamingo thing there. You know, I mean, that's just God trying to say, I'm trying to open up for you a way that I speak to you that you've not been familiar with. And once you learn to let me do that and you research and you seek me about it, you know, Because some people get a picture of a flamingo in their mind. They're going like, eh, I rebuke that. What is that? That's dumb. I'm not going to think about that.
Exactly.
And so they put it off. Mm-hmm. They put it off. And they don't really hear where, you know, God's trying to take them on a trip. You know, nothing like going on a trip with Jesus, man. There's nothing like going on a trip with Jesus. It's the most amazing thing I've ever done. And once I learned how to just let it happen, it changed my life. It changed my ministry. It changed everything.
Wow. You know, it's funny because he did something today. I was taking a hike, and right next to my car, when I went back to my car, he's been speaking to me through hearts, but there was like a little heart. I guess it was from like one of those beanie baby things, but it had my birthday on it, the date of my birthday, and it was a kangaroo, and I'm like, okay, Lord, you're taking me on another journey. What are you trying to tell me? I knew he was speaking to me, but, you know, that's something that I'm sure is going to, he's teaching me, but, you know, sometimes it's like I don't, you know, I could have just thrown it in the garbage, but I knew he was getting my attention because it had my birthday on it.
There you go.
So,
that's what he does to me a lot of times. He'll tell me something that sounds like, he'll either do something like that, or he'll tell me something that sounds really like off the cart. Like, you can kill your enemies by feeding them communion. I'm going like, what? I rebuke that devil in the name of Jesus. And so I started realizing that, you know, that's just crazy stuff. How can anybody think that's just like the devil talking to me? You know, and then I realized that, you know, the way that God started showing me about communion was that it's so powerful that if you're an enemy of God, you don't want to take communion because it'll kill you. You know? And literally, that's what happened with Judas. I mean, when Judas took communion because he had become an enemy of Jesus, what happened? The moment he took communion and Jesus warned him, he warned him, he said, Judas, I mean, he told everybody, he said, somebody who's about to dip the cup, dip in the cup, and is going to betray me. Not deny me, betray me. And Judas heard that, and he said, is that me, Lord? And he goes, yeah, you know it's you. And so he warned him. And then as soon as Judas took communion, what happened? He Satan entered into him, and he went and did his thing, and, you know, and he ended up killing himself. Now, Jesus didn't do it to kill him. Of course, we know that because Jesus loved him. But at the same time, he was a hidden enemy among the disciples to everybody except Jesus. Jesus knew he was planted among him for a reason. And so when he knew that when he took communion, that it was going to eventually, he was going to die. He was going to go kill himself because Satan entered into him through communion. Now, you know, if I hadn't listened to that thought, when that thought came into my head, I'm going like, what? Your enemies die through communion? That would sound crazy. But that's one of the ways God speaks to me to get me to think outside the box about things. You know, and then when I read the scripture, I realized Jesus wasn't trying to kill him, but it had nothing to do with him killing his enemy. It had to do with his enemy. You see what I'm saying? So he started showing me how powerful communion is, that on the good side, it heals and delivers us and sets us free. On the bad side, if you're a willful, deliberate, you know, enemy of God, and you're deliberately doing it, and then you're warned and you're taught, and you take communion anyway, it can mess you up. And that's why Paul the Apostle said, there's some among you that are sick and dying because of communion. That's what he said. That's what Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 11, 23, 24, 25, 26. He said, some of you are dying because you're taking it unworthily. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, it was the lesson from that wasn't we kill our enemies. Like, feed them communion. That was like, you know, just how God got me to thinking about it. But I'm going, oh, my gosh. I mean, that's how powerful communion is. It's like a strategy from God to expose the enemies of God, you know, in a sense, one of the ways. So I never thought about that before. That was nothing, you know. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that it was that powerful. So that's one of the ways. That's one of the other ways God speaks to me is he'll give me some really off the wall, unreligious thought process, and I'll be sitting there rebuking it. Right? I rebuke that in Jesus' name. And like one time he told me, he said, I made you for rejection. I don't know if you heard me talk about that or not, but I said, I'm sitting there just as plain as day. I'm talking to you. He says, in my spirit, man, he says, I made you for rejection. I'm going, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Well, when I did study on it, I found out that Jesus was made for rejection. He was a man of sorrow, despised, rejected of men, his own Joseph, his own stepfather, rejected him from the womb. I mean, I start seeing that when God makes you for rejection, it means that when you get rejected, it doesn't kill you, it doesn't take you out. You get blessed by it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And all those thought processes came to me in the most unusual ways. And I'm sitting there saying, I bind that up in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to receive that. You know what I'm saying? So God has amazing ways, Jennifer, to teach us things if we go to the Bible, if we go to the Word of God.
Yeah, thing I do is look for scripture. You know, when I, you know, he'll usually say, I'll hear a word, and then I'll go to scripture to see if I can, you know, start putting things together. But, you know, the story eventually unravels. He eventually reveals everything. But, you know, he wants us to seek him. So, you know, sometimes it's a little, you know, it's a process.
Yeah. To understand the ways of God is amazing. So, you know, God is very smart. He's very strategic. And he has all these strategic ways to, you know, to get us to think about something outside the box. And so, anyway, all right, I'm going to move on to my next caller, but I enjoyed it. And I think the Lord's trying to tell you tonight that he's trying to unlock that part of you, that visual part of you for him. And so as you learn to not doubt it and to learn to trust it, that he's going to, you know, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to, you know, I mean, I've made mistakes in my learning process. It wasn't all perfect. But, you know, as I learned through and went through it, man, now it becomes the very thing that God uses most of the time. And I learned to trust it, you know, especially when people like you tonight telling me, Randy, you don't even realize what you just said about, you know, that just really spoke to me very plainly. I'm going, there you go. That's another example. I could have used 100 different examples with you on that, and I chose that particular one, or the Lord had me choose that one. And look what it opened up a little bit more of a door for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. All right. God bless you.
Have a great night.
And,
you too.
Okay. You too. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. All right. Let's go here to 760-574. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hello. This is Jessica from California.
Jessica from California.
Yes.
All right, Jessica. All right, Jessica from California. We've called before, right?
Yeah, I've called in plenty of times.
This is the Jessica from California. Okay. All right, it's Monday night, girl. I'm kind of, okay. Hey, the voice sounds familiar and the name's familiar. You know, hey, sometimes I have those nights. All right.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to mute you for a second, Jessica, and let's pray for you. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Jessica, Father. I thank you for the things that you're thirsty for. The things that you're thirsty for, Jessica, Jessica? Yeah, Jessica. I was talking to Jennifer. Now I'm talking to Jessica. All right, Jessica, so the things that you're thirsty for, God is saying, you know, Jesus said, all you who are thirsty, you know, on the last day of the feast, it talks about, I think it's in John 7, you can Google it. The last day of the feast, it says that Jesus stood up, just kind of shouted out, all you who are thirsty, come unto me, and I will give you drink. We're going like, everybody's like going, what? Come to him and get a drink? You know, like, he got some free water over there or something? He's giving away bottles of water? What's up with him? You know, has he got a well he's just dug? You know, what's he saying? Come unto me and drink, you know? And so, you know, Jesus is the most unusual person. How would you like to just be at a Jewish feast? I don't remember Passover, Tabernacles. I can't remember which one it was, but he stood up and he said that, and it's like, oh my God, where is this going? Like, what's he talking about? And so, with you, I'm hearing that scripture tonight, and the Lord's saying, you know, all of you who are thirsty. Jessica, who is thirsty, you're going to start finding out that the things that you're thirsty for in God And we all have thirst, things that we thirst for in the natural realm, things we thirst for in the flesh. Not necessarily evil, bad things, but just things that we thirst for. You know, I don't want to even get off into different things, but there's things that we all are thirsty for. You know, some of us, like, I used to want to be, I wanted to be a football player. Even when I got saved, I can go play ball because it's the only thing I really knew how to do that I was really, you know, good at. And a lot of people said I could be a professional. It was just, it was a natural for me. So I just went to that. And so I started seeing that, you know, the things that I wanted to do, the things I was thirsty for, I thought was being, you know, a professional football player or baseball player, either one. And I was thirsty for that. So, you know, because I always wanted to be that when I was, you know, lost before I knew Jesus. So I was thirsty for that, right? So I went and started trying to play ball as a walk-on in a small, you know, college town and, you know, walked on and was moving it fast. And all of a sudden the Lord, you know, he changed everything, you know, long story short. And so then I started preaching and teaching and learning how to do all that stuff, which I was horrible at the time. It just wasn't my gift at all. I wasn't thirsty for that. You know, I was thirsty for other things. So I see the Lord, Jessica, you know, starting to open you up to what your spirit man is thirsty for, because your spirit man is seated at the right hand of the Father right now, and he's drinking of Jesus. Your spirit man is seated at the right hand, seated with Christ in heavenly places. Sorry, misquoted that. Seated with Christ in heavenly places, and he is like, so he knows the things that you have been created for or the things that you have been made to thirst after. And we all thirst after Jesus, but Jesus has a lot of different things, Jessica. And there's a lot of different things that we can thirst for in particular. And so what I see happening is God bringing you to the realm of thirsting for things that he wants you to thirst for. In other words, if you're thirsting for, you know, a Diet Coke, which I don't drink Diet Cokes. I think I drank one Diet Coke in the last 10 years. It's one of the things that I do. But most of the time when I'm thirsting for something, like, you know, pomegranate juice is one of the things I drink now. Pomegranate juice, I like certain kinds of pomegranate juice. From a certain thing, I like to make my own product. So I start getting thirsty for that, and because I started getting thirsty for that, a lot of my immune system issues, just my immune system just turned into this roaring immune system, man. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, all because I started thirsting for pomegranate juice, right? And so that's one of the ways that God began to, you know, draw me into a revelation about the natural things he's created that bring us health. Because health is not always just reading the Bible, right? Health is sometimes the natural things God gave us on the earth that make our body healthy. So if we eat them and drink them, then, you know, for the most part, our body's going to be healthy and it's strong. So I was thirsty for that. I thirsted. Why am I thirsty for this? Why am I craving this stuff? What's going on here, man? And little did I realize, I ended up getting an invention that I made that God helped me with that makes your immune system extremely strong, you know, and it happened right probably about a year before COVID, maybe 6 months before COVID. No, it was before that. It was long before that, but I didn't realize how powerful it was until about a year before COVID. And I started realizing I never get colds anymore. I don't get sick anymore. I don't get anything anymore. What is it? And I realized the only thing I'd changed was that. And then I did research on that. So that's just one of the many examples. So also one of the things I became thirsty for was in the prophetic realm was listening to the Word of God. For some reason, I loved listening to the Word, not just reading it, but I came thirsty. I gotta hear the audible Word of God, the audio Word of God. So I started finding audio. So when I started doing that, oh my gosh, little did I realize that God was opening me up to hearing the Word in an audio way in my ear. And it started opening me up to a whole nother development of getting revelation from heaven, because my mind began to hear the words and began to put pictures, because the picture things started happening with me. And then, oh my gosh, now before I know it, I got so much revelation. I get so much revelation, you know, just about every day that thank God I have a phone. I can make my notes quickly and sharply every day because I get so much revelation on things. And it's all because God gave me a thirst to listen to the, you know, Bible audio, the audio Bible. And so anyway, it's really cool. So get ready for that. Hang on a second. All right, Jessica, let's turn on here. See what's going on with Jessica. All right, Jessica.
Hey.
Hey.
That was
kind of wild.
That was a good. Yeah. I that is very applicable right now as far as the thirsting goes. It's interesting because I've been there's been like new passions that have kind of been arising as far as like a lot of old things that I haven't done. Like I used to do a lot of art. I used to do a lot of photography and stuff, and those have been kind of coming back. I think,
cool.
I think the Lord leading me back into them. So it's interesting because he's been showing me different ways of how I could, you know, maybe glorify him with it and whatnot.
Right. And, you know, sometimes doing that, it's like you may start out, what'd you say, art, drawing art or painting or what?
Yeah, okay. Painting.
So let's say, okay, so there's something that, just to show you how God works and how he's given me a thirst to do one thing that I did do that, I did keep doing that, but it was developing me for something completely different. Like, anyway, so I can see how the Lord would start drawing you to do those things again because now you're ready for a whole other level of creativity and a whole other level of maybe you've grown. I don't know how long it's been since you've done it, so if you've grown with the Lord, maybe something. Because sometimes things get activated in us where our mind gets opened up and healed or delivered or opened up to God in a way where it's like something that's been closed for years. Now all of a sudden it's opened up. Even though we have a passion to do that, now it's really open. Now our mind is really open up. It's been healed, or something's gone on, or God's opened up something to the point to where, you know, we start wanting to do that again. We're thirsty for that because that's not where that's going to end. It's like that is like the opening up of the door, so to speak, for you to go to the vision realm, and God all of a sudden starts moving into your imagination, and he starts painting pictures for you literally in your imagination, and you start seeing things that are prophetic. You start seeing things of the future, things of the past, answers to things, and God starts painting pictures literally in your mind because the doing this thing as you work this thing. I'm not a painter. I used to paint, but I painted walls and high-rise buildings, you know. I didn't really paint like what you're talking about. My mama did that. My mama was a good painter. She painted, you know, all kinds of stuff. All kinds of things. But I never have tried that. I've just never been good at that. But the fact that that's happening with you is telling me because God is going to use that as a stepping stone to take you to other places with him spiritually, you know, where it's going to open up other gifts and other abilities. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting because I've actually been praying for that. So, I mean, I have actually – I wanted to kind of backtrack for a second because in the past, whenever I've called you guys, and I got to talk to Ruth and the other woman, I think, about a week ago, and they prophesied over me. But I wanted to thank you as well because – last time that I called you guys, I had always been in like kind of a bad place. The Lord, I was still going through kind of the hardest trial, I think, of my life. And I just wanted to thank you because there were a few times where I called in where that was kind of like my lifeline to hear the Lord and to kind of keep hope alive. So I appreciate your ministry very much.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, thank you so much. Well, I really appreciate that. That's really cool. Yeah, you know, God uses us in all different kinds of ways for different people, different seasons in their life. Sometimes we help people go through hard times. Sometimes God uses us to unlock new things inside them. Sometimes to teach them and train them. You know, we coach people, you know, like talking to our caller before, that whole conversation was really like a coaching thing about how we hear from God. You know, so sometimes we coach, we do all kinds of things. And, you know, people don't always understand it all. I don't know that I ever understand it all either. But it sounds like to me God is getting ready to open you up to some new things. You know, as I opened up the show tonight, I started just spontaneously. I have a lot of information on my phone that I get notes from, you know, all day long, you know, that I can't wait to share it with everybody, you know. But tonight I came out and just kind of, you know, opened my mouth and start talking like I always do. And all of a sudden I heard myself say something about information and how then I went off onto this long thing about information and how important information is. You know, the reason Peter rebuked Jesus and told him he wasn't going to die was because what they believed was wrong information. I think all the Jewish teachers taught that when the Messiah comes, he's going to, you know, sit on the throne of David, and he's never going to die. And there Jesus is sitting there saying, you know, hey, Peter, I'm going to die. And Peter's like going, I rebuke you, Jesus, because you having a hard day? What's wrong with you? Because he had wrong information, right? And just like in the prophetic realm, when we prophesy to people, if I prophesy to you about chickens, when I'm supposed to be prophesying about eagles, then I'm going to send you, you know, quotas. You're still going to be getting in with birds, but it's the wrong bird. It's a chicken instead of an eagle. You know, so and how important the information is that we prophesy and minister people in to help them go the direction God wants them to go. And that information is, you know, just information is just everything. So what I'm saying to you is that, you know, gets us healed and blessed and turned on to him and gets our mind kind of corrected somewhat, whatever. And we all need that. Everybody needs that. There's not one person that needs their mind. That's what the Bible talks about, renewal of the mind. Our mind gets renewed to a certain degree, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're ready for something new. We're ready for something, you know, dynamic. And that's what I see happening with you is that, you know, God is getting ready to help you to receive information from him. Because, Jessica, when you get information from God, and it's right now information, not something 20 years ago that you're trying to apply to now, you know, when it's information for now, and you're telling people we're into eagles now, not into chickens, all these other people are talking about chickens, but I'm telling you, it's not chickens, it's about eagles. And people are like, oh, no, it's all about chickens, it's not about eagles, you're wrong, you're in error, it's not about eagles. Eagles are fly high. We need some more reality stuff like chickens, because that's what all the prophets are prophesying about, chickens. We're going to have the chicken ministry. It's going to be really awesome. Chickens are really cool. And so you're saying, no, that's not true. So getting the right information from God is everything, Jessica. It's everything. Everything. Mm. And so God helping you to get you positioned the way that he can get you that information is giving you a thirst for, you know, doing your artwork and your drawing, whatever you do, because that within itself is developing that mind of yours. See, I can't do that. God wouldn't use that to develop my spiritual gifts. But with you, he does, because that's one of the ways your brain works. So he knows how your brain works. So what does he do? He gives you a desire to start doing that stuff again. And what is he doing? He's developing something spiritual inside you to get your mind open to new things, creative things, because when God speaks of creative usually means it's something that's not on the earth. So when you start hearing information that's not on the earth already, you're going like, oh, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Oh, that's not on the earth anywhere. And God's like going, yeah, I know. I'm trying to get it to the earth. Can I use you? Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You got off on that too, huh? Like, that was pretty cool. Yeah. I felt the anointing on that one. That is so cool.
I kind of felt like I've been in the you know, in pinball machines where like the little ball is like in that little slot to get pulled, but like to get shot forward. I feel like I've been in that little area waiting to get shot forward for a while. So I'm like, if it's time, it's time.
That's right. I mean, and it doesn't matter how hard you try to get shot forth. If it's not your time to get shot forth, you just kind of like go, you know, okay, come on, I'm going to work this up, you know. Okay, like the ball can do it all by itself. Like, okay, ball, come on. Okay, you, good. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And you're just sitting there, and 3 years later, you're saying, in the name of Jesus. Ball, shot forth. Be shot forth. And the thing, and the thing that shoots forth the ball, it's not working yet. Like, what's going on here? But when it comes time, man, it's like you don't have to do anything. Like you finally fell asleep because you're saying Jesus' name, ball, be shot forward, be shot forward. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you're shot off. You go, oh my God! You know, I wasn't even trying. What happened? Yeah, the Lord said, yeah, it was just.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited.
I let you wear yourself out, and you fell asleep. By the time you fell asleep, I shot you off.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's exciting. I'm
going
to write that down. Yeah.
Well, it's been recorded on the Blog Talk for sure. If you can't remember it, it's been recorded. So if you don't know how to get that archive on that, we'll probably have to do that. Yeah. Yeah, very
it's
interesting. Very interesting. Go ahead. Yeah, what else?
I actually also just have a side note. So I have been physically feeling, and maybe this ties in with the thirst thing, but I think it's my thyroid or something. I have a doctor's appointment in June, so I have to wait. But I've been feeling really, really crummy. I kind of feel lightheaded all day, like I'm going to pass out any moment. And I don't know if it's a spiritual attack or if it's just physical, like I'm not eating right. I'm trying to eat right. I don't know what's going on because I've never felt like this before. Like the only relief I get usually is when I'm laying down because it feels like the blood, like it's like a blood pressure thing or like, I constantly feel like I'm in fight or flight. I don't know what's going on. So I don't know if that has to do with maybe the thirst thing, and maybe that's going to lead me into thirsting for even physically healthy things.
I don't know either. Could be. Could very well be. I know I had – I talked about this a few weeks ago. I haven't talked about it in a long time, but I had a I was putting a coconut. I'm kind of a scientist. I experiment on things all the time. So I was putting coconut oil in my ears. Yeah, I know it sounds stupid, but I was coconut. Everything was coconut oil. I found all these things of coconut oil. You know, virgin coconut oil is like, you know, healing me and healing other people. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. I wonder what it does if you put it in your ears. Honestly, I'm being truthful because I had some earwax issues and some other things, you know, with hearing things. I'm thinking, yeah, I don't know what this stuff is if you put it in your ears. I'm sorry. I don't know why it's so funny now, but yeah, I don't know why it's so funny, but it's just funny to me right now. But so anyway, so what happened was one day I'm laying down on the couch to take a nap or something or just kind of relax. Before I hit my bed, my head hit the couch, you know. You know, I'm bending over, and I'm going, so, oh, my gosh, what was that? I've never had that happen in my life. I didn't know what that was. I just kind of got dizzy, and, you know, and I'm getting dizzy. So after that, every time I lay down or put my head down in a certain position, I would feel like I was going to pass out. In fact, I would kind of pass out a little bit. And then I'm standing up in the living room at my house, and I move my head a certain way, and I start falling back. I'm standing up, right? I start falling back. I'm going, oh, my God. I mean, you know, the fear that hit me, girl, on that, the fear that hit me. I thought, oh, my gosh, I've got a tumor. I got a brain tumor. Like, Kim, come in. I'm going to die. You know? I mean, I didn't really think I was going to die, but, I mean, the thought went through my head, right?
Yeah,
because I didn't know what it was. I'm going, oh my gosh, you know. And I remember, I was stood in the doorway of the bathroom, and And I said, you know, because this fear was really trying to get a hold of me. And I said, in the name of Jesus, fear, I bind you up and cast you down out of my mind in the name of the Lord. I think I did that once or twice. I don't remember how many times I did it. And so within, I don't remember the exact time, within a few hours maybe or a few minutes, I don't even remember. It was just the Lord said, I want you to YouTube your symptoms. YouTube it. You know, do search thing. So I'm just like obeying the Lord, right? I'm halfway freaking out, thinking I got a tumor, I'm gonna die. the prophet Kim Commit died years ago. You know, everybody was shocked. Now I'm gonna die. We're gonna be brothers in heaven. We both died of, you know, tumors in our brain. You know, I mean, that's what I, you know, oh my God. And so I YouTubed it. I put the symptoms in there, and sure enough, this lady doctor comes on. She says, if you have these symptoms, you do this and that and the other. Move your head this way, turn your head that way, turn it. And do it. She said, if that didn't work first time, try it two or three times. And by the two or three times, if it doesn't go away, then it's not the problem. And I thought, oh, thank God. I think I'm going to try that. I tried it. Gone. The whole thing went away.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. So my point I'm saying is to you is that I was freaking out. I'll be real honest. I'm not going to say I had hyper faith. I mean, you know, this happened progressively over several days because every time I put my head down, I just passed out, and when I lay there trying to come back to myself going, oh, my gosh, what have I got? What have I got? What's wrong with me? You know, oh, my gosh, this is, you know. And so that's the thing I went through. And so as I asked the Lord and I YouTubed it, you know, and I think it took me a couple of times to YouTube. I never thought about it being vertigo. It was vertigo. I had water.
Oh, no way.
Not water. I didn't have water. I had, what's that stuff called? Oh, yeah, coconut oil.
Like the ear.
Yeah, in my ears. I have a hole in my eardrum. And what was happening is that because I was putting coconut oil in my ears. You know, you know the days when you had earaches, your mama put ear oil in there, right? Oil in there for, I don't know if your mama did that, but I used to have earaches a lot, right? So they have this oil you put, you know, for earaches. So I thought that's kind of my thinking on that. And I'm going to come up with some really great invention that's going to fix everybody's ears. You know? So it had gotten into my ear canal, whatever you call that. And every time you lay down, that oil or water or whatever it is, when you lay down, that ear canal, because it's kind of circular, it moves. And when it moves, that's what it does to you. It makes you feel like you're going to pass out. In fact, you do pass out sometimes.
Right.
Yeah. So that's how that lady explained it, how she even figured out how to fix it. So, but what I'm saying to you is that let's believe God to show you what the, because if I'd have been a panicker and been more dependent on doctors than I was on God, I would have ran to the doctor right away. Right. That's
right.
What I would have done.
Yeah.
I would have ran to the doctor and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, I'm not saying anything, but they would, you know, they might have found it to be vertigo, or they might have tried to do brain surgery on me. I don't know what they would have done. You know, oh yeah, you've got a really big head. We think that that there's something in there. Yeah, your head's way too big, son. We think there's something growing in there. Yeah, I got a big brain. I'm just trying to learn to activate it. But so before the grace of God, Jessica, that's what happened. And you know, I had it happen one other time where, because I was, you know, I take showers, the water would get in my ears. Now I plug my ears, but the water got in my ears again, and I started having a problem again. I go, oh, my gosh, it's back. Oh, my God. And so I did the same thing, and literally I felt the water slushing around in my ears, and it actually literally, I don't know how it goes out of your ears, but it does through that procedure. I'm going to believe God with you to show you something simple.
Okay. You mind if we took a moment, just prayed over it, so maybe get some clarity, and maybe I could, like, YouTube it or something. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to pray over it. For sure, thank you.
Cool.
For telling me about that. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And opening up about that. Because this happens to a lot of people, and, you know, I mean, I love doctors. I believe in doctors. I just don't go to them.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a doctor years because, you know, by the grace of God, he just helps me, you know, do it. And I had anxiety attacks every morning years ago. And every morning I wake up with anxiety. You know, because I'm an intercessor, I thought, you know, I thought there was something wrong. And so I pray, God, what's going on? Something's wrong. I can feel it. It's very real. And kind of find out it was just, what it was my blood sugar at night would do something. And so the Lord gave me a thirst for oatmeal. And I started eating a little bit of oatmeal every morning. And for some reason, when I did research on it, found out that oatmeal balances out your sugar system and good for your heart. So from that time on, all my life. Now, if I forget to eat oatmeal in the morning, I have that same thing going with me every time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's another example that I'm saying that God used to, fix the problem without me even going to the doctor about it. Or I thought it was like an emotional thing or a mental thing. I wasn't sure what it was. I thought somebody was, you know, I was an intercessor, so I've always been an intercessor, so I thought people were having problems or something's going on, the devil's trying to do something to somebody. And little did I realize, all it was is oatmeal. I just needed some oatmeal to balance out my sugar from, crazy stuff. So what we just thank you tonight, Lord, we never know what the answer is going to be. It can be something physical, something that she needs to eat, something she needs to not eat, something in her ears, something in her brain, something she needs to, just to partake of. So Lord, help her to lead us and guide us as Jessica finds her way through this situation, Father, and opens up about the issues that's going on inside of her. We take authority over fear and any kind of thing trying to dominate her mind. In Jesus' name, we reverse this. We thank you, Lord, for a reversal, and her faith begin to be activated like I had to do in the I never forget. I'm sitting in the bathroom, in this bathroom doorway, and I said, in the name of Jesus, because, that fear was trying to get on me. I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, Satan. In Jesus' name, you're a liar, you're a thief, and I'm not going to listen to you anymore. And that became the turnaround for me. Then I got information. Information is so important. Information is everything when it comes to God. God communicates information. So give her information, Jesus, on what she needs in Jesus' name. How she needs to feed her body or not feed her body. What she needs to be thirsty for. And give her a thirst for the thing. Like you gave me all of a sudden I just woke up with a thought process of, you need to have oatmeal, because I didn't have oatmeal before that. And I tried oatmeal. That anxiety went away almost immediately. Went, wow, that's crazy. So I thought, well, let me try some multiple meal to see if it's just a grain. A multiple meal, the problem stayed on. I tried other grains, nothing. Only thing that would do it was oatmeal. I experimented. I'm like a scientist sort of. And sure enough, there's something about it. Did research on oatmeal. Oatmeal is one of the most powerful things that people need to have in their bodies every day, because it does more than what they think. I don't even think they know what all oatmeal does, but it is absolutely powerful. And so I thank you, Jesus, for Jessica and giving her that information, God. And you're going to use this thing to show her how you're going to lead her and guide her, Father. You're going to lead her and guide her into all truth, or all information that is truthful information for her. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Thank you.
Amen.
Interesting. While you were praying, I believe I saw, I can't stand the stuff, actually, but apple cider vinegar. I saw the little drink from Bragg's Apple Cider. I'm going to have to go to the store and get some.
Yeah.
I don't know
why.
Don't
do like I do. Don't drink it raw.
Yeah,
you know, I drank it raw. I don't know. We had somebody on the show the other night, and we were talking about all this stuff. And I said, vinegar will give you arthritis. And she says, no, vinegar doesn't give you arthritis. I said, well, she said, if you drink the right kind, the Bragg's kind. I said, well, no, that's what I was drinking. And this is on our show, right, last week. And she says, she said, Randy, you're not supposed to drink it raw. I went, oh, really? I never read the directions. this stuff is good for you, man. I'm going to get it potent. You know, let's drink it all. So I said, it gave me arthritis again. I said, that and salsa. When I have too much salsa, I get arthritis. And so when I don't have too much salsa, the arthritis goes away. And she said, well, you have to take a little, she said, with the Bragg's vinegar, She said, if you read the label, which I didn't do, it'll tell you how to take it. You take a teaspoon of it or something with a, with 8 ounces of water. I went, oh, that's probably what the problem was then.
Oh, funny. Yeah. Just a little thing, the biggest difference, too.
Well, that's what she said. And, I, you know, she worked at GNC. It's, and so I'm going like, wow. So you do know what you're talking about. But I did. I went and bought the Bragg's and everything because I heard vinegar was really good for you, this, that particular kind. And she says, yeah, Randy, you're not supposed to drink it raw. I went, okay, sorry. I misunderstood. But, yeah, so she says it gives people energy and strength. And it was pretty cool. She really bragged about that Bragg. She really bragged about Bragg's vinegar.
To try it myself. I saw it pop in my head, so I'll take it. I'll try it out.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be cool. She said it gives people energy. She says she has, I think she used to tell people to take it. I don't have to read the label. I'm gonna, I can't remember what she said. I think a teaspoon or 8 ounces or something like that, or something like that. But she said it gives people energy and strength. I'm going, that's a new one on me. You know, I just thought drink it straight. Why not? It's better that way. She says, no, that messed you up. It did mess me up. So I learned something that night from one of our callers, so from our PGN friends.
Oh, cool.
Hey. Yeah. So, and then keep me up with it. You know, call in. Let us when you want, when you can, and let us know what's going on with that. And you know, we'll just walk you through it. I had a lady one time, one of our friends, called her from Florida, Nikki Charles. She calls. You know, we talk to her at least once a week, and she really loves the prophetic. And she called in one day, and she said one night, she said, Randy, man, my knees, all of a sudden my knees just started killing me, like I got arthritis in my knees really bad, and I think it affected other parts of her body, you know. And so, you know, so my answer, my really highly spiritual prophetic answer, word from God was, I said something like, are you eating a lot of salsa or something like that? I started telling her that I learned that when I ate too much salsa, I get arthritis. That was my answer to her. Girl, that's how spiritual I am, you know. It wasn't, I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke arthritis. I cast that arthritis out, because she was really nervous about it. And I said, what a great answer that was. And she says, you know what, that's amazing that you said that, because my daughter just started working at a Mexican food restaurant, and she started bringing home the salsa, and we started drinking it like fish because it's so good. I said, me too. I love salsa. And she, so she quit doing it. And she said the other night, I could talk to her about it again the other night because she was on the show listening. So I got her on here to testify about that. She said, yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly what happened. And when I drinking that salsa like it was, you know, like it was water, because it was so awesome. And she said, I had arthritis like crazy. I said, yeah, there you go. And she quit drinking so much of it. And she said it went away. So hallelujah.
Well, cool. Maybe I'll get rid of my, because I eat a lot of hot sauce. Maybe I should get rid of my hot sauce.
What kind of hot sauce do you have? It's like regular, it's like salsa?
Oh, I have all kinds. No, I have the Sriracha. I have Tapatio. I have Tallulah. I have Tabasco, pretty much any kind.
Oh, yeah, all this stuff. I love all this stuff, yeah. I'm kind of a hot sauce person myself. When I go eat eggs or something, you know, I'll get all that stuff. But having a little bit of it's good. You have to find out where you – do you have arthritis issues sometimes?
No, I mean, my joints, I think, like, are starting to hurt. I can't eat sugar. I'm realizing I can't eat sugar anymore just because that makes my joints hurt. It makes my back hurt. So I have cut that out of my diet completely. Yeah.
Do you know why – one of the things I figured out why sugar does that to you? Because it reveals it's wherever you're weak at, wherever you have weaknesses in your body, sugar.
Yeah,
sugar manifests the weakness. It does the same thing to me.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and wherever I have like a back problem or some kind of weakness in my hands, you know, or whatever, my bones, it will.
Yeah.
That's what happens to me. I get, you know, it just starts hurting.
Huh. It's like it targets the weakness, and it's like, I think it doesn't help with inflammation. Like, it actually, that's what I think I remember hearing, is like it makes your joints inflamed, or it'll like target where that weakness, like you said, the weakness, and it'll cause inflammation.
Right. I think that's probably right. I'm not sure the details of why it works like that, but I had the same experience. And so, and I don't know that it happens with everybody. I think Nikki is like, I don't know how old Nikki is. She's like 40 or 50. I don't remember now. But, so I don't remember having, I had joint issues when I was younger. And I mean, like I was, how old was I? I was like 35 or 37, maybe 40 years old. And I had like in my joints, like a knife sticking through my, that's how bad it hurt. And I'm 40 years old or maybe younger. I'm thinking, what's wrong with me? You know, I must have hatred and unforgiveness because I can also, that's what I thought, you know, because I've been teaching on that before. And oh my God, I must be hating somebody. I don't know about it. Unforgiveness. But so what, I went on a little fast, right? And on that fast, I threw up some stuff and it tasted like the fizz, like a Diet Coke. That's what it tasted like.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what it tasted like. Really weird. And so, so the Spirit of God just in my mind, you know, told me, you know, your arthritis, because my arthritis went away when I went on the fast, because I didn't, you know, drink the Diet Cokes or drink Cokes at all when I did that. And so when I threw that up, it had that taste in it, and the Lord says, that's what your arthritis problem is. So I quit drinking Diet Cokes. Arthritis went completely away.
Oh, how cool.
In any kind of Coke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really was. So, you know, my thing here is that I don't think everything's spiritual, you know, just like the salsa thing. I mean, you'd think I'd been rebuking the spirit of arthritis. You know, come out, arthritis, and Jesus. And I just think, come out, salsa. You're drinking too much salsa. That's what I said. And it just happened. It was the answer, you know. It was the answer. So answers are not always, in Jesus' name, be healed. You know, I mean, God could do that. But sometimes he wants us to find out why we're having that problem.
Yeah. That's something I've learned recently, too. Like, sometimes it's not always, like, this spiritual everything all the time. It's like, he also made things kind of practical. Like, you know, if something's hurting you, stop poking it. You know, it's like, it's not like, it's like, oh, it's spiritual, you know. Sometimes it's common sense, too,
right.
So.
Yeah, and when you look at the Bible about all the things God said we should eat, like with me, when I eat too much red meat, I eat red meat because I'm about 220 to 240, 245 sometimes. And so I'm a big bone person. So my protein, I get my protein from meats, and red meat is the best protein that I know of. And that's right. I eat chicken too, but that's what I do all week long. But when I eat too much red meat, that gives me arthritis also. You know, so you start looking at all these, the food laws that God gave us. I mean, you start seeing some of that stuff. You're not going, the reason God said not to eat some of that stuff, because it really does mess with you. It makes you sick. Not because he was trying to keep us from having fun.
Right.
Just saying, I didn't make you for this stuff. It'll mess with you.
Alrighty. Well, thank you.
Yeah, so in other words, it's all spiritual.
Yeah. But I'm going to have some quiet time and see, maybe go through, ask the Lord to show me maybe some foods that I could be eating that might help me out. Because, like, it's only gotten worse over, like, this past week. Like, it's funny because I was fine. My thyroid had been swollen for about 2 months, and then I finally went to the doctor because it wasn't going away. And then, you know, they said I had a goiter, which is an enlarged thyroid, and that would explain, like, why I've been gaining weight and all this other stuff, kind of just randomly all of a sudden. Like, I've never had this issue. And I come to find out that thyroid is a tiny little beast. It's in charge of a lot of things. Like, it's in charge of, you know, your fight or flight response. It's in charge of, you know, your metabolism. It's in charge of, like, all these other little things. And so it's like, no wonder I kind of feel funny. Thyroid command centers sending all kinds of weird signals everywhere. So
yeah,
hopefully maybe it's like something food, because I'm even looking at changing my diet, because I've been strangely not attracted to eating carbs. Like, I kind of don't want to, because that makes my blood sugar, like, sugar spike. I'm thinking maybe I just need to cut out carbs or something, like experiment with it and see how it goes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. My grandson calls me a scientist, and some people call me the mad scientist, because I experiment with everything. You know, I experiment not just with natural things. I experiment with the Word of God, literally. I'm going to experiment with the Word, saying, okay, I know this. Somebody says this works, so I'm gonna work it. And if it works, then it's God. If it's not, it's not for me. Maybe for them, but it may not be for me. You know, not everything's the same for everybody. Jesus is the same for everybody, but not every part of the Word of God is always, you know, for me. You know, I mean, it's to help me with things. My answer may be spiritual in some things, sometimes natural things. So I have to look into the full Word of God. So it's where did I go with that? Yeah. So there's just answers. They're answers out there. So Lord, we just thank you for the thyroid. We thank you, Lord. We just bless her thyroid tonight, Jesus, and we just plead the blood of Christ over her thyroid, God. And Lord, we just thank you for not only will she, you know, spend time learning how to eat better and maybe change her diet, and you know that may be the thing that makes her healthy. But I thank you, Jesus, for just supernaturally just touch her thyroid tonight, God. Jesus, say cleanse and wash the blood of Jesus. I rebuke any this condition in Jesus' name. I command that thyroid to be made whole. I command it to be cleansed and washed, to adjust, to develop, to come back to your full development, where you can develop, where you can be fully, you know, made whole. Well, that thyroid will work like it did for Jesus, like Jesus' thyroid will work for him. May Jessica's thyroid work for her like Jesus' thyroid work for him. In Jesus' name, and every other healthy person, in the name of Jesus, command it to line up in the Word of God, in Jesus' name, for her right now by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things I do too, before I move on here, but I do the echinacea thing. I talk about this a lot. I go to Walmart. You have to get the Walmart kind. Mm-hmm. You can't get the fancy stuff. I'm allergic to the fancy stuff for some reason. I try to go buy the fancy, expensive echinacea at these fancy places, and I'm allergic to it too. I don't know what they put in there, but it gives me hives. I get hives from it. But the Walmart echinacea, the Walmart echinacea is cheap, like $3-4 a bottle, and you know, and that it doesn't overtake your immune system. It works with your immune system. Most other things that the doctors give you, it overtakes your immune system and takes over your immune system and fixes the problem without your immune system. Echinacea, which is a natural herb, helps work with your immune system, and I have overcome some really major. Like I had a real big swollen tooth, I had a tooth problem, and I went to the dentist, and the dentist wanted to give me some medication. Well, I didn't really want the medication, you know, to make the thing go away. And so that's when I discovered echinacea. So I went and got some echinacea from Walmart for four something a bottle. And I took four of them every 4 hours. That's what I did. I'm not telling people, I'm not a doctor, I'm not prescribing medication. I'm saying echinacea, this is what I did. And I took four echinaceas every 4 hours for that one day, and it completely went away. I mean, was completely gone, like it never was there. And I've never had that happen before. Yeah. And so then I used it on other things when I had other issues with echinacea. And what it does is it boosts your immune system, and yet it doesn't take over your immune system, but works with it. That way your immune system doesn't get weak while it's healing you. Yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing. It's inexpensive too. So I recommend that to people also. You know, I've even told people, I'm not saying this heals cancer. I'm not saying take it for cancer. But I've told people, you know, that this echinacea is the most powerful immune system builder. And I've tried a lot of things. It is the best. I mean, it knocks stuff right out. If you do it, you can't,
you know, go to your doctor. I mean, if your doctor tells you something different, do what your doctor says. So I'm not trying to be your doctor. I have to make that statement. I'm not trying to be your doctor. But what happens is even when you read the instructions on how to take it, I don't do that. I take four every 4 hours, and it you know, so it's if you do it the way I say, it could help you in a big way.
Okay.
But always do what your doctor says.
Okay. Right.
Listen to your doctor. I'll find out.
I won't find that out until June, but I'll try that in the meantime because, like, if I can fix it before I even go to the doctor. Yeah.
I would do that. I would do the echinacea thing, and if you need to text me or something, I mean, I think you should have my. Do we send you alerts on the alert thing? I have about.
I don't get your.
I send 400 alerts out. 400 alerts out every day to people telling them who's on the show tonight. Yeah, and I don't know if you're not on there or not. So that's why I don't know. But if you want to send me your, if you want me to send you a text, then you can, then I can, you know, I just want, I'll tell you, you know, exactly how to do it. So you don't just, you know, some people that they don't really do what I tell them to do. They just, I've read the instructions and I know what the instructions say, but if you got something going on, there's one way to help it. And that is do it the way I tell you to do it. You know,
yeah.
Like I said, I'm not a doctor. I'm not educated. I'm not a medical doctor. I don't have a license. I'm not trying to, you know. But this works big time. And I would try it as an inexpensive thing, and yet the most powerful thing. And make sure you get it at Walmart, and you get the kind that's the Spring Valley echinacea. And don't get
Spring
the
Valley?
Kind that's mixed. Don't get the kind that has Golden Seal in it. That's good stuff. But just get pure echinacea, E-C-H-I-N-A-C-E-A.
Okay. I think I've seen that even at Walgreens, too, so I might be able to swing by there tonight because that opened 24 hours.
Don't get on there and say, I think I'll try this brand. Do the Green Valley only.
Is it Spring Valley or Green Valley?
I'm sorry, Spring Valley. What did I say, Green Valley?
Yeah.
sorry, Spring Valley, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
And I've got your number right here, and I'm going to try to send you a text.
Okay.
And then you can respond if you want, but just I want you to make sure that you don't start listening to yourself and everybody else and their opinions about it, because everybody else's opinion, my opinion is the best on this.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sending you thank you. I'm sending you a text right now. Just did you get the okay text?
Let me see. I did.
Okay, there you go. All right. So if you need me, you want to ask Randy. Somebody told me you shouldn't do that way, and then I'm gonna talk you into doing it my way.
Okay.
That's what I'm gonna do because I want to help you.
All right.
And I'm not a doctor, and I'm not. You know, I'm not trying to be your physician. Do what your doctor says, but consider what I tell you pretty important.
Okay, absolutely.
Okay. And I'll put in your name on here. I don't even have your name beside here. I know I used to send you information because it used to be on here. Let me change it to. Let me edit it. Okay, that's what I'm doing here. Okay. Add to existing contact. I thought you already. Oh, wait a minute. That was an accident. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, we're
all
right, Jessica.
I was called you accidentally. Okay, great job. All right. We're looking forward to helping you out if God gives us the grace to do it. And all right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Hello there. Hello.
Hello?
Hello, 720-620. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Veronica from Denver.
Oh, hey, Veronica. I thought that looked like a Colorado number. All right, girl, good to have you tonight. Let's pray for you. And I'm going to mute you just for a second here. Let's pray for you. Thanks for calling in. And then my next caller is 251. I'll be getting you here pretty soon. So just we're not going to get in any hurry. We're going to minister to people. We love to minister to people. If we minister to one person or 50 people, whatever, we don't care. So we're just here to minister to people. So be patient if you can, and we will get to you. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Veronica, God. I thank you, Lord, for giving her a new vision, for the vision of her heart, God, that the vision's from her heart, not the influences of people, not the influences of men, but the vision that you put in her heart, God, because vision comes from the heart. And when you lose your vision from the heart, you lose your heart, or your heart gets lost. Or, you know, I'm not saying lost, going to hell, lost, that kind of lost, but your heart gets lost. It gets lost. And so, God, renewing your heart and renewing your vision and revisiting you in your vision, in your vision realm. And I see the vision realm for you opening up. I see God opening up your vision realm. Vision, not only just God giving you a vision for something. Without a vision, people perish. And so we all need vision from God. We need purpose from God. We need something from God. Because people give us their vision. You know, it may sound really good. It may be good for them. We don't fit into that somehow or another. We can help them with it. I've helped a lot of people with their visions, but very seldom am I, you know, heavy duty involved in it. But I, you know, I'm available as a prophet or as a friend, pastoral, whatever, to help them. But you know, so we have to realize that, you know, when God calls us to do something that comes from the heart, then if you're not doing what your heart's calling you to do, you get confused. You get lost, right? Because your heart is where your vision comes from. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So if we're not believing correctly about our vision, if we're not believing correctly about what God has for us, then we get lost. You know, not lost going to hell, not lost, you know, when you're saved, you're saved. But we get lost in our purpose. We get lost in who we are. We, you know, the anointing changes on us. The anointing, you know, it's just like, what's going on with the anointing? And so, you know, we have to realize that you can have two different people doing two different things and both be doing the will of God. Sometimes those things can meet together and bless each other, and sometimes not. It just depends. I mean, I could tell you stories about stuff like that, but I'm not going to do it. But God revealing to you that, you know, that, you know, he's restoring the vision of your heart and going to help you with that. And it may be different than you think. You may have an image in your mind of what you think it's going to be like, what it's like. But when you actually do it, it may turn out to be something completely different, but yet it's exactly what your vision is. That happened with Joseph. Joseph had, you know, his literal visions or two dreams from God. God told him that, showed him that his brother's sheaves were going to bow down to his sheaves. In other words, he was going to be the ruler there. Well, come to find out, you know, he thought he was going to be the best farmer in town, and all his brothers would like to say, man, you're the best farmer in town, Joe. You're the greatest. Our sheaves bowed down to your sheaves. But that was not what happened at all. That was his dream. That's what he thought. I mean, he knew that was what was going to happen because God showed him, and God's favor was on his life. And his father favored him. He had it going on. And yet, the whole time, he got cast out of that area, got taken to a whole different area, to Egypt, you know, the heathen place, or where all these other gods are, not the land of God, where, you know, his vision was, he thought. But he got the vision in there, but he got thrown out of the area that he got his vision and went to a completely different place. And therefore, God began to, you know, he struggled, he battled, he questioned, he, you know, just like got mad at God, I'm sure, kind of got angry. What have I done wrong? Was it because I bragged to my brothers that they're going to bow down to me and that, you know, I'm sorry I did that, if that was wrong, blah, blah, blah. Why did you show that to me and then I did it? So when it came down to it, he still did what his vision showed him, but he did it in a completely different way than he thought, much bigger than we thought, much greater than he thought. And so he began to shepherd the world. He pastored the world. He fed them bread and gave them counsel and became Pharaoh's a father to Pharaoh, and he was 30 years old. Joseph was 30 years old, and he was a father to the old man Pharaoh. What he ended up doing was exactly what his vision was in his heart, but his mind hadn't got it quite straightened out yet. So it takes time. It takes God working through things and showing us stuff and, you know, dying to ourselves and giving to God and, you know, giving our time, giving our love, giving our prayers, giving our heart. And so as God begins to do that, then things begin to happen. So anyway, so I see God doing that. So let him guide you. I know you are. Let him lead you. He will. And, you know, you may start out going one direction, like when Abraham left his mother and father, going to Canaan. God says, I'm going to show you a land. He didn't have a clue where he was going to go. He just kind of took off, man. Taking off. I'm going someplace. Don't know where I'm going at all. But I'm going someplace. Which way do I go now? I don't know. I think I'll go over here. You know, he just being guided by God and didn't even know it. And all the time. He didn't always know exactly where he's going and exactly what he's doing. Are you kidding me? He's a man of faith. He walked by faith. And faith sometimes disappoints us because we think we're going to be this. It ends up being something completely different. Anyway, what's going on there, Veronica?
I was looking for direction, and you hit the spot.
I told you which direction to go, and that is that you're not going to know which way you're going to go. How do you like that?
Yeah, I know, but I had to make the first move. I know.
I know you do. Well, that's the first move. Sometimes the first move is stepping out toward what you think is right, you know? And as you keep your heart open all the time.
Yeah, I got put it on my heart.
Yeah,
I had that vision. God put it in my heart, and I just had to make the move.
Right. Yeah, you have to make the move and start heading that direction. And that's what I do every day. I get up in the morning, and I start heading a direction, you know? And sometimes heading a direction means, hey, I think I'm going to go eat me something that Denny's. I'm going to have some, you know, yeah, that's how I'm being led, is by some food. So I get over there, get me some food, and all of a sudden I see somebody that looks like somebody that makes me start thinking about something. I'm going, why did I see that person? That wasn't really them, but it looked like somebody, and now all of a sudden I start thinking about that person and what I remember talking to about last time, and blah, 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 on and on. And then pretty soon in my mind I've gone to a whole different place. I didn't go to Denny's over there to eat some. I didn't want to go there. Why did I see that person? And why did I go? Because the Lord says, I used that to open you up to start sending you in a certain direction. Well, that's not the direction I was supposed to go. He said, yeah, it was.
Yeah,
so direction,
the Lord told me.
You know,
yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm finished. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Lord told me to leave everybody alone and just take off. And I said, God, where am I going? And he said, I'll show you the way.
Well, doesn't that sound like, let's see, what was that guy's name? That really popular guy. What was his name? Oh, yeah, Abraham. Right? That's exactly what God told Abraham. He said, Abraham, you're going to leave your mother and father, and you're going to take off, and you're going to go to a land that I'm going to show you. And he goes, okay, well, can you tell me which way to start going? He says, which way do you want to go? He said, how about that way? He said, yeah, that'll be fine. Just start going that way. And as you start going that way, you know, pretty soon you start going the right way. Sometimes we just have to step
Amen.
Out. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And,
thank you, Jesus.
So
I'm ready.
That's the way God. Do what? Go ahead.
I'm ready to step out.
Oh, that's great. Well, we have to be ready. And until Abraham was ready, you know, God couldn't make him do it. But when Abraham was ready, then all the circumstances were there, then he did it. And it became a beautiful thing. So it was all good. It was difficult.
Amen.
Could you imagine? Just it had to be difficult for him because, you know, he didn't really know where he was going. He's going like, what land?
Yeah. I don't have money. I don't have gas. But I know God provides the way.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Thank you very
much.
Yeah,
hang on just a second here. I got to do something.
Hallelujah.
Now, give me a second. I got to fix this thing. Hang on just a second.
Thank you, Jesus, for your confirmation. Amazing grace.
Okay, I'm back. All right, so yeah, when we walk by faith, we don't always know where we're going. Sometimes we don't even know which way to start going. But like sometimes with me, like I use that example of going to Denny's. All of a sudden, you know, I want to go to Denny's. I mean, I could go to IHOP. I could go anywhere and get me some breakfast. I can make my own breakfast, Veronica. Believe that or not, I'm a breakfast man. I can make anything. I can cook. But no, I'm going to go to Denny's, right? Yeah. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm thinking I want Denny's eggs. I want Denny's, you know, whatever. And so I'm going over there. Just I'm not thinking about anything other than just eating some food. I'm hungry. And so God used that even to, like, you know, does things like that to just, you know, I mean, I didn't really meet anybody, talk to anybody. I just saw somebody that looked like somebody that took me on a little trip somewhere. And all of a sudden I start thinking about all this stuff. And the Lord says, yeah, I wanted you to go on a little trip today, Randy. And I want you to go on a trip on a particular way, think about a particular person, because I had some things about that I wanted to show you. I'm going, like, thanks a lot. Why didn't you just tell me? Why didn't you just give me the guy's name or the person's name sitting over here? Why haven't they get up and go spend some money at Denny's? I can fix some own breakfast. And he said, because you wouldn't have thought about it had you not got up and gone to Denny's.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So we never know, girl, how God's going to do it. We never know.
Amen.
We thank great men of God, because we don't really read between the lines or even read the Bible much. We read it and we go, yeah, they knew exactly where they were going. They knew exactly what they were doing. You read Hebrews 4, it says that Abraham didn't have a clue where he was going. But, oh, we
know,
thank you,
oh,
God.
But
that's
I'm
okay.
Going. Yes, amen.
There you go.
Thank
yeah,
you.
And when you get,
Randy. God bless you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, Veronica. Thank you very much.
God bless you.
All right,
bye-bye.
You too. Thank you so much. All right, thank you. All right, let's go here to 251-229. Who am I talking to, Ray Farm, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy. It's Sarah from Alabama.
Hey, Sarah. All right, let's mute you for a second here, Sarah. And then my next caller after Sarah, whenever I get to it, will be 917. You'll be my next caller. Okay, thank you, Jesus, for Sarah tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry of angels, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, for the ministry of angels. And God's showing you, wants to show you about, you know, the ministry of angels. That, I mean, I don't know that I've ever really seen an angel as far as literally seeing one. I had a vision where I saw, like, it looked like an angel at the foot of my bed. It was a dream vision, but yet it was real. I don't understand how dream visions can be real, but I saw this person standing in front of me at the foot of my bed, and he had this invisible robe with the, like, this, there was this flowing like a wind or something blowing around in the robe. So I knew it was, you know, I couldn't see his leg, but I saw this wind, like a wind or something blowing around in it. It's a power of God pouring out of it, man. It was actually David Wilkerson. And he showed up at the foot of my bed and just started telling me, going to do, you know, miracles with families. And I'm like going, okay, that's it. I just started doing miracles with families. I'm like, okay, whatever. And so that's the coolest thing I ever saw. What I thought was an angel at first, because the power of God was on me for 6 months after that, and almost every person I prayed for, they got healed. Yeah, I mean, literally from that, because even though he said, as God's pointed out, a special anointing for the healing of families, you know, the healing anointing from just those words got on me, and literally, I thought I was turning into a healing evangelist, because, man, I mean, almost every person I prayed for, maybe every one of them, and got healed. I mean, I was always surprised when the next one got healed, because I thought, you know, this is going to quit any time now. You know, because I didn't know. I didn't know what was going on. Because when you're learning from God, you just learn from God. You don't. God's not going to have you do something that everybody else is doing. He's going to have you doing what he wants you to do, and he has a unique way of guiding you and leading you to doing it. So I don't know where I'm going with this exactly, but you know, God's going to show you how to, you know, just let him show you whatever he wants to show you in the angelic realm, and give you, you know, a real live visionary opening up into your spirit, into your mind, of what really goes on in heaven. Like, your spirit man is seated with Christ in heavenly places right now. If you're born again, you know, I believe you're born again, right? So if you're born again, your spirit man is seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. You should read it right there. It's really, really, really plain. Really, no, there's no question about it. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places right now. Your spirit man is. But your soul, your mind, is a part of you that needs to have help. It needs help from heaven. We need help in our soul. We need help in our mind. We need help in our emotions. We need help in our, where are we going? What are we doing? What's going on? So, Lord, I just pray tonight for my sister in Jesus' name, and I just pray an opening, like an opening in the heavens, like a rifting of the veil for her, God, to let her experience that supernatural presence of God and his angels, because they are his servants. And in Jesus' name, to bring my sister to a whole other place, God, like that quick, like lickety-split, boom, like lickety-split, like the splitting open of the veil, the opening, the rending of the veil. In Jesus' name, let it be done, Father. Let her experience it. Let her see it. However you're going to do it, I don't know. Let it be done in Jesus' name. And just to show her, confirm for her at another level that you are real in that area. In this season of her life, as you think. All right, Sarah, what's going on?
Well, thankful for the prayers, and basically, I wanted to expound on what you were saying. Like, what we're praying for is for me to have an eye-opening experience of angels in heavenly places.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, I accept. Yeah. I really do.
Or whatever's going on in the heavenlies, you know, it's about a heavenly experience. It's not necessarily you going to heaven. Like with me, I was sleeping in my bed, and for the first time ever, hang on a second. For the first time in my life, I mean, I had what appeared to be, at first, an angel. I thought it was an angel at first because it was so real, so amazing. And he had a robe on. It was a man. He had a robe on that from his waist down, maybe from his, no, from his waist down, there was this robe that kind of spread out like a robe, like round, you know, and like a robe. And like a cone, you know, like a cone, like you pour oil into a cone, you know. Like it was shaped like a cone, so to speak, and it was a robe, and it was invisible, but out of it was rolling all this power, and I could feel the power of God getting all over me. I'm like, oh, man. I mean, even though all he told me was there's a healing of there's a special anointing. God's pouring out a special anointing for healing for families and relationships. That's what he said. Exactly. And I went, wow. Girl, I mean, from then on, I mean, I couldn't even talk. I could hardly talk at all for several hours after that. I've never had that experience in my life. It was really unusual. I realized years later it was David Wilkerson. And because his face was like David Wilkerson, but I wasn't that familiar with what David Wilkerson looked like too much. But so I realized it was him. God was, for some reason, using him to give me that message. And, man, everybody I prayed for, like I said, for, I don't know, several months, maybe every person, but it was healed, and those words opened me up for that, Sarah. So I don't know. God's going to do something with you. Going to show you something from the heavenlies. It may not be in particular an angel, but I'm talking about a heavenly experience or an angelic experience, something like what I have. even though it really was an angel, he was definitely supernatural manifestation of God telling me he was pouring out a special anointing for the healings of families and relationships. You know, and it ushered me into a new place. That's all I can say.
Amen. Well, all I was praying for tonight is my daughter, Leah, wanted to pray that God orders her footsteps and lead her into the pathway of righteousness.
Cool. Leah's in the Bible. Leah, you know, you're probably familiar with Leah. Leah was one of Jacob's wives. I had more than one back then. And, you know, she ended up bearing the tribe of Judah, which is where Jesus came from. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool.
So I just wanted to pray for her.
Huh?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, you're fine. Pray for
her salvation and just that the Lord leads and guide her to the pathway of righteousness.
Yeah, and maybe this thing that I'm talking about may be something for her, too. I mean, or maybe be for her. I don't even know. So that's what you're calling in for is for her. But maybe for both of you, I'm not really sure, but you know, I mean, I do this stuff all the time. I pray and minister to people, and I found out over the years that it doesn't matter what anybody understands what I say or not. I watch it come to pass, you know, many, many times, you know, over and over again. So so when I hear something, I don't always know exactly what it applies to, but I do know, you know, it's the Lord speaking at one level or the other. So I thank you, Jesus, for Leah. God, I thank you, Lord, for her life. I thank you, Lord, for opening up her spiritual womb to receive the seed of God's holy word, and that she bears forth the seed of Christ in her life, a salvation, that beautiful experience with Jesus, that she will experience him personally, that she will experience him powerfully, that she will experience him in real time in this earth. In Jesus' name, God, pour your spirit out upon her. Baptize her in your spirit, God. Immerse her in your spirit. Remove anything that hinders her, God. And I thank you, Lord, for setting the fire under her, God, so that she can walk in the fire of God. She can be a mighty witness for Jesus. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, Prophet Randy, I thank you so much for your prayers because they're always so effective. I know that sometimes it's different things that go on that God is leading you to, but I actually have had experiences where I've had dreams and visions, and sometimes when you have those, or the majority of the time when you have those, that's just God speaking to you, you know. And so I really do appreciate everything you do. Can you hear me?
Well, yeah.
Okay. And I've had those experiences with dreams and everything, and I appreciate everything you do. I really do.
All right. Very nice. Well, then, you know, God's going to give your daughter some type of an experience. And that's why one of the reasons you were calling in. But it's not that we just need one or two. It's just that, like you said, it's just one of the ways God speaks to us. You know, to me, that I haven't had that many experiences like that before. I've had Michael the Archangel visit me in a dream. But it wasn't like that one. That one, he was at the foot of my bed. That was different. I don't know if it was a vision. He was at the foot of my bed in the vision, and it was just an open vision. I'm not sure. I never really understood it that much. But like I said, I had an anointing for healing on me for months after that. And I prayed for people that were sick, and they got healed before. But not like that. It's like every person's, you know, maybe 90, I think it was every person. I'm trying to keep it exactly, you know, straight, but it was amazing to me. I'm like, oh my God, you know, something happened to me. That being of God released something on me when he said, you know, the healing of families and relationships. I mean, the healing word, just like, obviously, you know, took me to a zone I'd never been to before. So maybe the reason I'm talking about that is believing God with you that your daughter will have some type of a thing where, you know, God will just bless her and make himself plain to her in a way that she needs to know it.
Yes, and that's what I've been praying for. So, yeah, I really have been praying for that. And it's exciting to know that whenever you actually had, what was it, Michael, the archangel, in an open vision?
Yes.
Was it an open vision?
It was a vision. It was a dream vision. I don't know what it's, I always call it just a dream, but it's a dream. Sometimes I call it a dream vision because, yeah, he showed up, and if you know what having a dream is like, you know, in a dream, you don't even have to have somebody tell you who they are. You just know who they are. I mean, I've never asked for Michael the Archangel. I didn't even know who he was. You know, I mean, I've read about him, but I'm not an angel person, right? I'm not an angel person at all. I'm not into angels. I think they're cool. Maybe if I see one, whatever, you know, I'm not really into angels, right? I'm not focusing on Michael the Archangel. Show me Michael. I mean, I had no desire. I believed in the supernatural. I wanted all that, you know, whatever God had, but Michael the Archangel, no way. I mean, I just never. And so he comes to me in a dream, and in a big black limousine, like an executive limousine, like, you know, the presidents drive around it. And the window was rolled down, or he rolled down the window, and he kind of leans forward and he just looks at me. And while he's looking at me, I mean, this dude looked awesome, man. I mean, I didn't see wings because he was sitting in a vehicle, right? I didn't see if he had wings or not. Some angels have wings, some don't. I never saw a wing on him. Not saying he didn't have wings, but I never saw one on him. And he sat there and he was really dark, black maybe, hair, curly, wavy hair, kind of long, you know, down to his shoulders, wavy hair, nice looking person. It looked like, you know, fine looking man. Maybe had a little bit of white going through his hair here and there, you know, it looked like it. And he was sitting there and he never said anything to me. He just stared at me like he was watching me. That's the only thing. I felt like he was watching me. I knew he was watching me. And it scared me. In the dream, I'm going, Michael, the Archangel, like, you know, in a dream, you don't really think, you just know. And I'm going, like, why is he looking at me like that? It's like he's looking at me like, you know, almost like, you know, like, God, you sure this is the right guy? You sure you gave me the right address? This is the one that you're talking about? He didn't say that to me, and I didn't know that in the dream, but I thought about it because the way he was looking at me, like, you know, this guy, like, this one? You sure this is right? You know, okay, whatever, you know, whatever. And so, yeah, and so, and I had some other experiences. I was driving down the road going to a friend of mine's house, and I was kind of passing around a mall. I looked up on the street on the mall, like behind the building of one of the mall buildings, and there was this big black limousine. And the person I was going to visit was a real Israel person. I mean, real Israel person. They loved Israel, traveled to Israel, been to Israel many times, lived in Israel. You know, I was going to visit her. And so on my way over there, I looked up and I've gone, I mean, it scared me. It scared me because I don't know why Michael scares me, but he just does. I guess he's just real powerful or something. But when I saw that, I didn't see him this is literally a van, literally the same vehicle that he was in my dream. It was up there on the, like, kind of up on a hill right next to the building of the mall. And I saw that, and my gut just went, oh, God. Oh, is he watching me? That's what I'm thinking. He is watching me. You know, what are you watching me for? Like, I wanted to say that even though I didn't see him in that car, I did not see him in that car physically, but it was a physical car, like just like the one I saw in the dream. And it shook me up, girl. I mean, I was like going, man, what does he think I'm fixing to go do over here? Like, get in the flesh or something? I mean, why is he watching me? Literally. I mean, that's what I thought. Yeah, this is, he's a little bit nosy. I mean, what's going on with him? But it's like he had this, in the dream, he had this calling, or he had this call to watch me. And to, so I have a calling to Israel, right? And I didn't even know that angel, that Michael, God is my witness, I did not know that Michael the archangel was the head angel over Israel. I don't know if you know that.
Wow.
I did not know. I didn't know that. I go over there that night. I think it was that thicker night. And I'm talking to this friend of mine, right? And she's telling me, I said, well, so I got kind of nervous, right? Because on my way over there, I saw this vehicle that looked just like Michael's vehicle, like that executive black executive car, very nice and very, you know. So I start talking to her about it, right? I said, man, you know. So I start telling her about the vision, dream vision I had of Michael. She said, Randy, that's interesting because Michael is like the head angel over Israel. I said, really? No way. Where's that at in the Bible? So she showed me. I went, oh, my gosh. That's even scarier, you know, because I knew I had called Israel. I had been given a little bit of information about my purpose in Israel, but I'd never been to Israel. I didn't think I'd ever get to go, honestly, unless I got transported, you know. And,
yeah,
so I eventually got to go. And when I went there, I've talked about this many times on the show, I was there for a week in Israel with a friend of mine and a pastor friend of mine who had a two-story apartment right across from the old city where the wedding hall is, you know. And so I stayed there, and so we went on a thing from the Sea of Galilee. I'm hearing my voice in the background, so I'm having to turn it off because I'm hearing myself in the background. So I think I've told this story before many times on the show, but so they're picking us up, and he had a car. The guy picked him up in a car and picking me up, and I had a driver. He had a driver, and they're driving us to Lebanon from the Sea of Galilee from Tiberias, and you know, the guy starts saying, you know, he could barely speak English. You know, I thought he was a Mexican guy. Sure, what he was. I'm not used to being in Israel, right? So I said, you know, like, he says, hey, brother, you want to pray? And I said, sure. And I started praying like I always pray, in English and tongues. Well, he butted in. He said, oh, you know Hebrew? I said, no, I don't know. Sorry, I don't know any Hebrew. He said, I can't figure out why he was asking me that. He said, no, you speak perfect Hebrew. I said, well, what was I saying? He said, you were saying, he told me I was saying Christ is being exalted at the right hand of the Father. I said, I was saying that? That's amazing. That's the most powerful thing. And so, because the guy was, you know, a Palestinian who just got born again, and his main language, his language was Hebrew. That's what he spoke fluently in, his Hebrew. So he heard me speaking in Hebrew in tongues and told me what I said, which was really, really awesome. But that was in Israel, you know, and the fact that I was saying in my tongues to him, where he can interpret back to me, Christ is exalted the right hand of the Father, while I'm in Israel for the first time in my life, you know, and like, interpreting my main tongue, that's my main tongue. That's the tongue, the very first tongue I got was that tongue. I've got several tongues since then, several languages, but that was my first one. That's why I always prayed in it, you know, first. And usually, I'd go, you know, I prayed in. So, yes, I went, oh, my gosh. And so I started connecting all the dots. Like, I have a calling to Israel. I've got the main language, which is Hebrew, that God gave me supernaturally. I don't know Hebrew. I couldn't read Hebrew if I had tried. But you see what I'm saying? So it was an amazing moment, and so just one thing. I'm just telling a few little things, but there's a lot more things. And God just began to open me up, girl. It was amazing.
That is awesome. I tell you, God has really got His hands all around you in the ministry, because that is amazing. You know, to have just the angelic touch. You know, and then to find out that Archangel Michael he's the head of Israel, like the angel that's one of the angels that's the head of Israel.
Yeah, he is the head angel of Israel, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow and wow.
Yeah, it's in the scripture. He's the angel who watches over Israel. Yeah, that's
yes.
In the Bible. Yeah, like you said, I didn't know that either. I mean, I didn't have a clue. When she told me that, I went, I go, where, is that in the Bible? I thought she was, you know, just saying it because I, you know, oh, he's a head. I said, where's that at in the Bible? She showed me. I went, oh, my God. It scared me. I wasn't, like, getting goosebumps. I'm getting fear bumps. I'm going like, oh, my gosh. And I was afraid to tell her that on my way over there, it looked like I saw him again, literally, physically, which I don't know if that's what, because I didn't see him, right? But mm-hmm. I'm just like going, oh, my goodness, man, this is crazy. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Gosh, well, God continue to bless you with angelic visitations. I know that that's going to happen because you're a man of God and you're doing God's will, so hallelujah.
Whatever, I tell you what, girl, whatever we need, whatever I need, I would like to have a lot more visitations than I've had. I haven't really had, you know, that many of them, very, very few, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones I've had, I think probably like everybody else, you know, the ones I've had, I mean, like the Michael thing, I mean, that was like, I mean, I've seen Elijah. I know what Elijah, I've seen Elijah in his chariot. I've seen him. I've seen the two witnesses. I don't know who the other two witnesses was. All I know is Elijah. It's like in a dream. It's like I knew Michael was Michael. I knew Elijah was Elijah. He looked like the wind. Mm-hmm. He was in his chariot, and he looked like a man, but he looked like the wind at the same time, which is very unusual. I don't know if that's the spirit of Elijah or what that was exactly, because even though I saw a face, it wasn't like the face of a man. It was like the face of the wind, if that makes sense. It was very unusual, and there was a guy on a horse that was looked like the horse was pulling the chariot, but I couldn't tell. Exactly, because they were so close. But so the ones I've had, and I've seen the devil himself one time. I had a vision of the devil himself show up in a dream. That was kind of scary. He didn't have a physical face like you and I have, but it was dark. But the shape of his face, I could see the shape of his face, the shape of his hair, and the shape of what he was shaped like. I could see this shape, his form. And so I've had some pretty cool things, but, you know, not like some people had a lot of stuff, man. I'm like, man, I'm jealous. I want to have more stuff. But you know what? We'll get whatever we need, Sarah. We'll get whatever we need. So whatever you need, you'll get it. Whatever your daughter needs, you'll get it. And whatever I need to do my job, I'll get it. Right? That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's cool. I tell you, that's real cool. And, my prayer for you and both of us, actually, is that may God continue to visit us and open visions and dreams, and so that we'll be a blessing to someone else that has those open visions and dreams as well. And may God continue to bless you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. All right, Sarah.
You're
welcome. May God bless your daughter, Leah, and may she bear forth the Christ of God in her heart and her soul, and bring him forth in her life in Jesus' name, however God wants to do that. Hallelujah. It'll be good.
Hallelujah.
All right,
yeah,
Sarah,
that'd be great.
Thank you very much.
Okay, talk to you soon.
All right,
okay.
Thank you so much. All right, bye-bye. All right, let's go here to Tabinia. Do I call you? What do I call you? I don't usually call you Tabinia, do I? What do I call you? Hello? 917-263, are you there?
Yes, hello, how are you?
Yes.
Hello, how are you?
I have you on my text here, it's Sabina, but what do I usually call you?
Tina.
Tina, okay, that's right. Yeah. Tina, all right, Tina, we finally got you. I saw you on there earlier, but we were talking to other people, so all right. Tina, I'm going to mute you just for a second, and we're going to start praying over for you, okay? So hang on a minute.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you for Tina tonight, Lord. God, I thank you for all the things that are blocking her pathway, the things that are blocking her. Sometimes God blocks us. Sometimes God blocks us when he doesn't want us to go a certain direction, right? So there's good blocks and there's bad blocks. The good block blocking our way is a good example. The first example that came up to me when I thought about that was Balaam. When Balaam, you know, Balaam the prophet, everybody thinks Balaam was a false prophet. He was a true prophesier. He only said what God said, but he didn't exactly like Israel. But he was riding this donkey, you know, when he'd had that donkey since it was a baby. They were very close. Believe it or not, you read the story, you find this out. The donkey and him are going down to meet somebody, and the angel didn't want him to go. So God sent an angel to get right in the pathway to block him from going to, you know, to curse Israel or to do whatever he's supposed to do. And so his donkey was just, the prophet couldn't see the angel, but the donkey saw the angel, right? So the donkey just like Balaam was trying to kick it in. Come on, what's wrong with you, man? You never act like this before. You've never acted like this before. What's wrong with you? You know, like, stupid thing. We got to go somewhere, man. We got to get there. We're going to be late. You know, it's kind of like being caught in traffic. It's a bunch of bad drivers in front of me. So he got angry at the donkey, and the donkey was actually saving his life. Right? You're probably familiar with this story. And so, you know, finally, you know, the donkey starts talking to him, and the donkey says, and Balaam's donkey says, well, have I ever acted like this before? You've been with me all my life. I've ridden you everywhere. It's amazing this is in the Bible. It's actually in the Bible. And the donkey goes, you know, have I ever acted like this before? And Balaam, the prophet, goes, no, you've never acted like this before. He's talking to his donkey, right? And the donkey says, well, shouldn't you kind of figure out that something's going on? I'm trying to save your life because that angel has a sword. He's going to whack your head off. He's going to kill you if you go forward. And sure enough, the angel came forth and spoke to the prophet and said, I'm going to kill you, and your donkey saved your life. And so that was a good block, you know. I mean, it saved Balaam's life, even though Balaam ended up being a bad boy. But he didn't prophesy lies. I mean, he prophesied what God said. Because the king tried to get him to prophesy against Israel, and God spoke to the prophet. The prophet goes to God and says, God, you know, can I curse Israel? I mean, and God says, you can't curse what's blessed. So he goes to the king. He says, I don't care how much money you give me. I can't curse what's blessed. I can't give a false prophecy. I can't just say what you want me to say. And so, you know, but anyway, so there's good blocks where the angel was about to cut his head off and his donkey just got stubborn all of a sudden and just wouldn't go anywhere. And then finally the donkey talked to him and said, man, have I ever acted like this before? Wake up, Mr. Prophet. You know, what's going on with you, man? You know, don't you think there's some kind of reason behind all this stuff? So that's the thing. Sometimes, Tina, there's reasons for blockages. Even though he ended up going, but God had to kind of get his attention saying, you know, this is a very real thing going on here. You have an unusual case you're about to be involved in here, which is going to be cursing Israel. And it's like the angel's like saying, watch what you do, man, because I've got my sword here. And if you don't obey God, I'll whack you. That's kind of what was like the angel was watching him. When you think about it, the angel was watching him because the angel was sitting right there and the donkey saw him, but he didn't see it, right? So he stopped him. So that was a good stop, saved his life and woke him up to the fact that, you know, literally the angel was watching him, watching what he was doing, making sure he did what was right. And if he didn't do what was right, it wasn't going to be good. It wasn't going to be good at all. And so that was going on, Tina. And so there's sometimes that hindrances and things stopping us are good things. And then there's times where Paul the Apostle said, you know, I would have come to you sooner, but Satan hindered me. So sometimes, you know, Satan hinders, you know, it wasn't an angel hindering Paul from going. It was Satan was hindering it. And so it's a whole different kind of hindrance. So God's going to show you the difference between, you know, he wants to show you the difference between Satan's hindrance, keeping you from getting broke through and doing, you know, Paul the Apostle was a great warrior. So for him to be hindered by Satan was a pretty major deal, you know, because he taught all of us about warfare. And you read the Bible about warfare, it's usually about Paul. And so there you go. So there's different kind of hindrances, angelic ones, God ones, keep us from getting in trouble, going the wrong direction temporarily, even though he ended up going. but he got, you know, stopped from his thought process of, we're going to go curse Israel. You know, like the angel stopped him and said, I'm watching you. You better do right, basically. And so Balaam did right. He never prophesied anything evil about Israel, but he did give the king some of their weaknesses, and the king took advantage of Israel's weaknesses and did mess them up. So he got in trouble. So Balaam was a bad boy because of that. Anyway, so God's showing you the right things and the wrong things. Sometimes things hinder you because God's trying to stop you from going there or trying to wake up something in you to think about differently before you get there or whatever. And then there's hindrances where enemy hinders you, where Satan hinders you. All right? So what's going on tonight?
Oh,
Tina, how are you?
I just wanted to pray. I'm things are well. I just wanted to pray for myself and my children. I'm a boyfriend, Todd.
Okay, you want to pray for Todd and for your children?
Yes. Jenna and Nodge. That's...
Yeah, you got Nodge. You got Nodge. And what's your daughter's name?
Jenna.
Jenna?
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to mute you, and then we'll pray with it. Thank you, Jesus, for Todd, for Nodge, and for Jenna. Todd's her boyfriend. And thank you, Jesus, for Todd. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for whatever's hindering them from moving forward with things. God, I thank you, Lord, that if it's like an angel trying to hinder things temporarily, because trying to, you know, set something up like with, like the whole thing with that I just explained to you and gave you information about, that thought process that I was getting about Balaam, you know, was to, he hindered, the angel hindered him from going that direction right then because it was something he had to be made aware of, you know, so before he went, he did go on, but the angel did let him pass by, but he was letting him know that I'm watching this. And so be careful what you say, you know, don't curse Israel, you know, and God spoke to him and said, no, you can't curse what's blessed. And so the angel kind of knew that's what was going to go on. And he was trying to stop the prophet in his tracks before he, you know, did something bad and got his head whacked off. The angel, basically. So it got his attention. Sure enough, he prophesied correctly. There's some other things wrong, but he didn't try to curse Israel because God said you can't do that. So he obeyed God on that. So whatever thing is hindering them, Lord, I thank you, Lord, whatever thing they need to tweak or get corrected, Todd, God, I ask you to help him do that so that they'll do things right and do things before you, God, in Jesus' name. And whatever areas that Satan is hindering, like when Paul the Apostle went and Satan hindered him, we thank you, Lord, for sometimes hindrances, you know, can happen for different reasons. It's not the right timing, whatever. So we thank you for opening up the things that hinder and stop that you're going to give, you know, Todd, you know, and Tina an understanding that, you know, when it's time, when God's going to work in both and everything's ready, it'll move to the next level. And so, God, whatever that work is, we thank you for doing it. We thank you for opening Todd up. Thank you for blessing him. We thank you for helping him. Desire what you desire, God, and not be afraid to step in out of the dark into the light. In Jesus' name, not be afraid to step into the light and step out of the bug and, you know, move forward in Jesus' name with the blessings of God in his life. So thank you also for Naj. We bless Naj tonight, God. We thank you for Naj, that Naj, you know, will be like the donkey, the God-speaking donkey who saw the angel. You know, the prophet didn't even see the angel. You think prophets would see an angel, but he didn't even see an angel. The donkey saw the angel. Well, I thank you, Lord, for Naj, like the donkey that was able to see and know and do things and see and warn people and tell people of things that they need to know about their life in Jesus' name. And bless him, God, and bless his finances and bless him in his future family and all that. We thank you, Lord, for opening that up for him in Jesus' name and protect him and keep him from making mistakes that will cost him more than he wants to pay. In Jesus' name, and just cover him, protect him, and cause him to know, God, that every decision he makes, Father, how important they are, and cover him, protect him, and move him, God, in your direction. Jesus' name, for Jenna, Lord, we thank for Jenna, God, that she will learn how to take authority over her flesh, and let her spirit man become strong. Let the things that have been the Bible says that to man the way he should go, or a woman the way she go, and later when she's older, she won't depart from it, or he won't depart from it. I thank you, Lord, for the things that Jenna got that will keep her from departing from you in any capacity form. That she doesn't have to spend years and time departed from you, but she can always be, connected to you, and you watching over her in different levels of her life. God, make yourself known to Jenna, God, in Jesus' name. Make her laugh. Make her laugh when she needs to laugh. Make her cry when she needs to cry. Help her, God. Help her emotions, God, to strengthen her emotions, where she will not be led by her emotions or make decisions on her emotions, but she have them and they're beautiful, but she will make sober-minded decisions in Jesus' name, according to the Word of God, according to true counsel of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Bless her, Lord. Bless her future. Bless her life. Bless her family, future family, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Okay. All right. All right, everybody. Thank you for being on tonight. I think that's my last card with their hand up. So, all right. I'm going to be on tomorrow night. Tomorrow is Tuesday. We're here to minister and pray for people. That's what we do. And so that's what we do. We believe in God for it. The right information. That's what our teaching was tonight was about how important correct information is, in Jesus' name, and then waiting on God to make sure and okay, you're welcome. Okay. Okay. All right. So getting information, getting the right information at the right time is extremely important. It's extremely important for God, and we thank you, Lord, for what you do here on the show, and we thank you, Lord, for continuing to do it, to encourage people, build people up, and give them correct information so they can make correct decisions and not waste a lot of time. We're always going to have time, but we're going to not do everything perfect. But, God, you're going to pour out your grace and awaken your people to walk in your spirit in full obedience, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Y'all are going to call it a night tonight. Thank you for being with us. And it's always great to, get to minister to people. Sometimes we, just believe God for all of it to be made manifest in his will, his purposes, that you get information that's going to keep you on the path or show you the path or open up the path for you. Amen. All right. Good night, everybody. We're going to call it a night. It's 12:26. So if you don't have your hand up, then don't have any callers to talk to. So, all right. Nobody has their hand up. All right. So we're going to call it a night tonight. All right. God bless everyone. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bye-bye.